I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Ever since the day of Dante's sentencing, I've wondered what our criminal justice would look like, justice system would look like, if we tried to approach it the way Mr. Thomas did. What if we came to see that justice requires accountability but not vengeance? What if we came to understand that equal protection under the law, including equal protection for black victims too long denied it, doesn't have to mean the harshest available punishment? What if we endeavored to make the lives of black victims matter without policies that led to the mass incarceration of black defendants? What if we strove for compassion, for mercy, for forgiveness? And what if we did this for everybody, including people who have harmed others? From a policy perspective, this would mean expanding recent reform proposals, instituting pretrial diversion programs to funnel people into drug treatment instead of prison, funding public defenders adequately, and giving discretion back to judges by eliminating mandatory minimums, building quality schools inside juvenile and adult prisons, restoring voting rights to people who have served their sentences, or better yet, allowing people to vote while incarcerated, and welcoming, not shunning and shaming, those who are returned from prison. These ideas would have been ridiculed as hopelessly naive or soft-headed as recently as a few years ago, but now, for the first time in 40 years, they are getting a hearing. The collective work ahead is to deepen and broaden these efforts, all the while ensuring that they don't remain limited to the category of nonviolent offenders. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
And we are ready to do some podcasting on Wednesday. Took yesterday off.
Yes.
From the regular show, but I did do a This Too Much with Bossy.
Mm-hmm.
I just was like, I'm going to take a nap. Okay. And I took a nap.
You sleeping hard, dude.
Woke up and it was like 9 o'clock or something. I said, fuck it. It's time to watch Stargirl. Okay. That's what happened, y'all. Yeah, so we're doing the show today. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, search The Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport,
bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast excerpt is from Locking Up Our Own, by James Foreman Jr. Oh, you know, I read this book like last year sometime, maybe 2 years ago, and I just thought it was a great book. You know, I'm not what I would call a prison abolitionist. I'm not what I would call someone who's gonna abolish the police or whatever. I'm not that radical, and that's okay. But I don't think the status quo is tenable. I don't think what we have now is good. And I don't know that just a simple reforming and reframing with a few new ideas or measures is going to stop the killing of black people and the incarceration of black people. But after reading this book, I love the book because, one, it puts so much into context, you know, and I think we're living in an age where context is secondary to everybody's point.
Right.
Like, nobody gives a fuck now if something makes sense. No one gives a fuck it what why things happen in a, you know, everything now is they want to put it in a vacuum. They don't want to let your brain process, like, how do things get to a point. And this book gave me so much context for the, you know, I lived through a lot of this stuff, but for a lot of stuff I didn't live through, the heroin epidemic of the 70s, the violence of the 80s, the lawlessness in the black community because police refused to do their jobs in the black community. And then, of course, this made a cry for policing because black people had been here before. There's nothing that we have tried that we, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing we haven't tried. You know, it's why I don't believe in that where I'm not my ancestor shit. We have fought in every single way. You know, we have fought every type of battle. And the crux of this book gets down to something at the end. And I find what he is advocating for to be so revolutionary and yet so simple. And it's the smallest thing that many black people that are around me, you know, many black people I follow, they're not really willing to do. And I don't blame them. Because I can't always do it. But it centers around the idea of forgiveness. something that's essentially gone to the wayside.
Yeah.
People get mad when they find out a black person forgave something racial, when a black person, you know, they turned on that dude that was harassed in Central Park because he wasn't vindictive enough about that white woman losing her job. He wasn't celebrating it. That's why I think at the core of it, I don't believe all this shit is going to come to pass where we reform our criminal justice system, because even black people who have been abused by the system don't want to believe in forgiveness. And I don't blame them, because I can't always make it to forgiveness, you know? And that is what the system is truly feeding off of. The inability to forgive. The inability to say, I still believe and have hope in this person being a better person.
Yes, yes. Easier said than done. And everybody feels differently about forgiveness and how they should forgive. It's the individual walk. I know for me, I'm not perfect and I fuck up. So I am more apt to forgive because I want the same forgiveness given to me when it's my turn, because nobody's perfect and one day you're gonna fuck up and you're gonna have to ask for forgiveness. You know, children ask for forgiveness for their parents, and parents should ask for forgiveness from their children, because parents fuck up and do their children wrong. But, you know, the way society is, you have this authoritative position in parents, and parents, I don't fuck up, I don't never do nothing wrong. Yes, you do. As a parent, you're not perfect. You make errors. You make mistakes. There are things that you could have done better but that's okay. And I think because people are so angry and people are so mad, people are so upset that they're seeing red, everything is vengeance, 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 vengeance. But somewhere in there, in my opinion, for some people, in order to move on, there has to be forgiveness, or else you're going to permanently stay stuck on mad, and that doesn't benefit anybody. Because I'm gonna tell you right now, upset people should not be running the ship.
Yeah, I just think everybody has it in them, the capacity to forgive and the capacity not to. And yes, with us knowing how rigged the system is and how it's weaponized against black people, how many of us don't practice forgiveness for other black people? Even
right,
they make an infraction and it's forever, you know. They say something we disagree with, it's on site forever. Like, there is no coming back to the flock. There is no letting stuff go. And I'm only talking social infractions,
right.
So we're not even getting into criminal infractions, because it's hard for me to believe the same people that's gonna hold a gripe against Kanye West for the rest of his life are gonna forgive the guy who robbed them. I don't believe them.
Yes, because particularly on social media, forgiveness is not something that's rewarded. What's rewarded is just being mad all the time. What's rewarded, what gets the most tweets, the most eyes, what draws the most attention, is me calling you out, bringing you to the carpet, or dragging, however you want to call it, you know, in various different forms. That's rewarded. And so for a lot of people, if you start talking about forgiveness, a lot of times, depending on what circles you roll in, you're gonna have to let them circles go, because the people are gonna be mad and they will never forgive.
And the thing is, what I'm saying, I know, isn't popular.
Mm-mm.
What I'm saying is something I can't always aspire to. I don't always make it to this, you know, but I try. I do try my best. I think there is value in forgiveness, not for the person being forgiven, but for me selfishly. Forgiveness is a thing that helps me to move on. Some people say they move on without forgiving, but I've watched them, they don't. You know what I mean?
And you can tell,
you can feel, right, the energy. You, yes, can feel, yes, it in their spirit. They right, can't move on,
right?
You know, we're getting a bit ethereal here, a bit hippie, but that's the truth.
Yes, you can tell, because like I said, I can't speak for anybody else, but I know this is something that I've struggled with, for things that have been done to me. And I said I forgave, but I really didn't forgive, because anytime certain people's names came up, or anytime I saw a picture, or anytime something reminded me of them, the thing would swell up in me like it was brand new, almost like the flame in my heart, that anger would come back again. And the longer I lied to myself and let it stay dormant, when it came back, it was even stronger, because it actually just sat there dormant, just waiting to be brought up again. But when you truly, truly, truly be like, you know what, I am truly going to let this go. A lot of times, it's very hard to truly let stuff go, because your mind will actually put stuff on replay, on repeat, and like it's fresh in your mind constantly. And, you know, it's very hard to get to the point where there's a difference. You can forgive and not forget, because I think a lot of people treat those things the same. If I forgive, that means I forget, and that's not true. I can forgive you and still remember. I can forgive you and still protect myself. I can forgive you and still move on. I can forgive you and still make accommodations around me that this thing won't happen again. Because a lot of times you end up losing friendships, families, loved ones and stuff, so focused on your you're not forgiving that you don't even focus on things that are actually happening around you that could actually benefit you. And people trying to, I'm speaking for myself, people trying to reach out to you and you're not wanting to hear them because you're just so fueled with anger and rage, and you're just so upset. But when I got to the point where I was like, I am truly, 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 truly going to forgive, it was like a burden was lifted off of me. I felt lighter, you know, because it weighs you down, you know, because I've got to the point, how am I going to allow you to have this much control over my life? And you have probably moved on. And sometimes you're mad at somebody and they don't even know the fraction that they've done to you, because sometimes people are mad at people and they don't express it. So you're mad and you're upset at somebody for something that they didn't even know that they did wrong to you. And the thing about forgiveness, a lot of times when it comes to forgiveness, everybody thinks, well, that,
hold up, this is not about people that don't know they did something wrong. I mean, when you're talking about criminal justice shit, you're typically talking about people that know they stole from you, they robbed you, they beat you, right? They did this. So this isn't just a you holding a grudge for no reason on some social shit. Like, this is the next level,
right? Right.
Willing to forgive this shit.
Right, then this is the next level, but you were talking socially first, and so that's why I went into that, because that also goes on into, if I'm not willing to forgive for that, no, I'm not willing to forgive for these other things.
Right, I can't believe the same people that hold grudges forever are prison abolitionists. I don't.
Correct.
I don't believe it, and that's one of the core of a lot of this shit comes down to that. Like, James Foreman kind of reduces, and a lot of prison abolitionists, prison reform, police reform people do this. The crux of his argument comes down to the individual story, and the individual stories is about this kid named Dante and how this man essentially forgave Dante and went to court and advocated, even as the victim of Dante, advocated on Dante's behalf, and the judge gave him another chance. And Dante, you know, later went on, and I'll read that passage later another time, but like, it's about the fact that that man was brave enough to see Dante as a full human being and forgive him for what he had done to him, and not just see him as a statistic to be thrown out or a person who had harmed me, so therefore he must be put into the prison system and given the harshest punishment. Because what I believe is that we hold on to these grudges and gripes and stuff because many times it is a privilege, quote unquote, that is only afforded to whiteness. And so black people want to hold on to the grudges now because we've never been allowed to have grudges before. We've never been allowed to hold on to them. Our lives as well as our feelings have never been validated. So that feels like validation when someone says, hey, you're right, this person stole from you, now what do you want done with them? And this is the first time any of us have any level of power in some cases, and yeah, it does feed the system, but it's a bunch of individual choices that lead to a system that does this, right? And it is our complicitness in it and our willingness to throw each other out in order to prove that we are human and that we matter. And so the way that we've been showing that we matter and exist is to be like, this motherfucker right here sold crack to my aunt, I want them to go to prison forever, because that is also showing that my life matters, and we've been complicit in that, you know. And mm-hmm. looking at it now, it's like, well, this also helped destroy our community, because anytime there's a system in America, it's going to be set upon a white supremacist chessboard. So you're never going to have the even playing field that it seems. It's always going to bend towards some type of white supremacy. Even if they abolish the cops, whatever replaces the cops is going to bend towards white supremacy if no one has any plans. Agreed. And so but because this man forgave Dante, and that man put his ego aside, Dante goes on to be like a construction worker. It's not like it's some great, and then he was president. It doesn't matter. His life mattered, and he got another chance, and he was able to make something with it. And there's a lot of Dantes in prison right now.
Mm-hmm.
And those Dantes aren't just all getting there because some shit they did to white people. 99% of them are in there because of some shit dealing with black people, whether it's selling drugs to black people, whether it's being within the community and violence with other black people, whatever. A lot of those crimes are going to be, they're in there because of things that the other side of that coin is black people. And I think, right now in this climate where we're talking about reforming the police or abolishing the police or abolishing prison or restructuring prison, whatever words you want to choose, and I know the words do matter, but I'm just saying this a catch-all. Yeah. In the middle of this conversation, I keep coming back to Dante, and I keep coming back to this thing, and I don't know that people, black or white or any other race in America, have it within them in this moment to practice the radical forgiveness that it would take, because we like to say the shit on a systemic level, but on an individual level, am I gonna look at my rapist and be like, I don't think prison is right for this person?
Yes.
Am I gonna look at the person who murdered my family member and say that? Because that's what it requires. That's what everyone keeps skipping over. Right. I watched the Daily Social Distancing show. Obviously I love the Daily Show. And Trevor Noah had like a 30-minute interview with a bunch of black activists and one white man and they talked about prison reform, abolishing the police, reforming the police, defunding the police, all this stuff. And it's a great interview. Everyone should go check it out. Trevor Noah, I'm telling you guys, he's the best at this fucking job. If you're not watching, that shit is really on you. He does nothing but get better every day. And he has some conversations that you will not see anywhere else on mainstream TV, period. And they're very black discussions that gear towards us. And it's a real shame that people try to like destroy that dude before he got started. And then when he turned out to be good at the job and was supported at the job, you folded your arms and walked away. That's really a shame on all of us too, because he's really good at that job. Anyway, he did this interview with them, and he asked a bunch of relevant questions that I wanted to hear, you know, and they had a bunch of topics that I wanted to hear, and I'm sure they could have talked much longer. I'm sure they edited some of that down that stuff. But the thing I noticed in all these different discussions is that people like to skip over the holes in their argument or the situations that are tough. You know, we talked about this on Monday, I believe, where I was like, people don't like to give any slack in these arguments online because they're afraid that if they admit there's a gray area that you'll just go, fuck it, and I'm just gonna go back to what we have, you know, even though what we have is fucked up and untenable and all that. Whatever you said, you didn't have all the answers. But I love this discussion because, you know, it was kind of that thing where I learned more, I appreciated what they were talking about, but I still have questions even after watching that interview.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with the discussions we're having right now and what we're seeing trending online and stuff, is now a time for people to be educated and to be educating themselves. The knee-jerk reactions and responses are not helpful or healthy. And the fact that people know that there's going to be knee-jerk responses, and instead of reaching out with resources and shit, they're just slamming people down, is going to come back to haunt this moment. This is a moment on the precipice of change that we're never going to get, or we haven't had, in my opinion, in my lifetime. I don't know that we've had a moment like this where white people want to listen and want to do what black people are telling them to do. I don't think we've had this moment. Maybe you could argue after the LA riots in 92, maybe. That's about it. You know, I can't, there's never been a time in my life. Maybe after Reconstruct, maybe during Reconstruction.
Yeah, but I wasn't alive. My life, right.
Yeah, I wasn't alive for that shit. After MLK died, I wasn't alive for that shit.
Mm-mm.
But this is a time where black people are getting to ask some things and get answers for things. They may not be the answers you want, but people are moving in these directions. And, you know, this has come to pass before. And in many cases, we question the progress that was made no matter what. And this is what is going to happen. No matter what progress is made in these moments, we will look back and the generation after this will say it wasn't enough or it wasn't right or we made the wrong decision. It doesn't matter what decision you make.
Mm-mm.
That this is one of the few times where black people kind of get to be in the driver's seat. And, you know, whether it's abolishing the police and then we have lawlessness in the black community and people feel like this is not what I wanted. Maybe that'll be it. Or maybe it'll be, you know, we defund the police and then it's like Detroit where you call the cops and they don't show up for an hour and everybody's dead, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. But what I do think is, it's not helpful to kind of yell at these motherfuckers who are like, I don't understand, you know. And I think that's what it's going to come down to, because if you can't even summon the patience to talk to a person who wants to be on your side but doesn't understand what you're talking about. I'm not talking about trolls. I'm not talking mm-hmm. about conservative people that you know, some racist motherfucker that's just trying to fuck with you. I'm not talking about them. Talking about, I'm seeing people not even have patience with folks who are just like, I never even heard of this term.
Right.
And they're just like, read a book, motherfucker. You're like, Jesus Christ. Like, they're definitely not reading that book now. And they're probably going to be like, well, fuck this movement. I'm out. And that is a real thing. People, the same way we have emotions as black people, the people that come in and want to learn, whether they be black, white, whatever, they got emotions too.
Yes, they do.
They've been dealing with this shit too on whatever terms they're dealing with it. So, you know, like, this is a time where people need to be a little more fucking gentle on an individual level, because if you want to build a coalition, you gotta build it. You can't build it through only destruction. You want to get enough people on your side to move the government, to move politicians, to move the populace. And you're not going to do it by just fucking yelling at everybody that doesn't already know what all these terms mean. So that's what I've been thinking about. You know, defund the police means different shit to different people. Same mm-hmm. thing with abolish the police, because I've seen people that say hashtag abolish the police and then they go on and explain what abolition means to them, and it's different than just, you know, we cut the budget and everybody turns in badges and guns and goes the fuck home. You know, it's like, what is this? What does this mean? And people need to start fleshing out these answers, because the platitudes are not enough. It's enough for Twitter, obviously, you know, abolish the police trends and put it on a t-shirt, all that shit. But then when people actually say, hey, we believe you, we think you have a point, what is the plan? And you just go, fuck a plan, fuck you, go read a book. I don't know how the fuck that's supposed to help anybody.
It doesn't. And you know, it's one of those things to where you're asking people understand and people know the system. The current system we have is fucked up, but it's a system that we have. You're asking people to look at the system that we have and do something different. Most people would agree, okay, I want something different. I want a change. There's different forms to these changes. There's different ways you can do this. And people are trying to learn what exactly does defund mean. Like, how is it going to look when it's implemented in real life? You know, how is it going to look on my street and on my block? How is it going to look? And people act like there's something wrong with you when you come up with really valid questions that they don't have answers to. And because we live in an age where people just don't want to say, nigga, I don't know, you know, they give you these buttery, flowery, you know, sugary coated answers, and I'm looking like, but that don't answer the question.
And that's where I come back down to what James Foreman Jr. said. And it's what a lot of black people are rejecting right now. And they won't be able to see the connection in what I'm saying, but it's absolutely true. It's, there aren't two ways about this. It's the reason that people mock Nicki Minaj for marrying a dude that went to prison for rape.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because they really don't see that dude as a human being that could be redeemed, and that they don't believe any of that. They don't like that she married him or is dating him. And that means something. They think it doesn't mean anything. You can't be banned the box and also I won't live next to a person who's been to prison. You can't be both of those things at the same time. So, you know, and at the core of it is on that individual level, if you don't accept that there needs to be forgiveness as a value in society, as a value, a guiding principle, none of this shit matters. Not a fucking word of it is true. If you don't believe that, and people don't believe that, you know, so I would like to see, cause I can tell from the way they approach shit, they don't believe that. So if it's all bullshit, then leave me the fuck alone, you know? But yeah, I think that's a big part of it, man. I'm not even gonna play the Ring Rainbow music. Let's just get into it. But so the other thing too with this is, people looking at the definitions, right? So from what I've gathered from just online, right? And I mean, like, I've read a couple articles and stuff, but it appears to me not all of this stuff is set in stone. So there's a lack to me of specific plans to make this shit work, and different activists have different plans. And because of the way that new activism is kind of coordinated, where we don't have a leader and we don't have a board, and everyone's a leader and everyone has an opinion, which sounds great until you try to order a pizza, right? Like all this shit sounds great until
who's paying for it,
till you gotta make some decisions. I'm not talking about who paying for it. I'm just saying, if you're in a room of 10 people and you go, who wants pizza? And they go, oh, we all kind of want pizza. It's like, well, what do y'all want on it? Well, I'm not a leader. I think everyone should get an opinion. And it's like, well, one pizza with everything on it. And motherfuckers like, I don't eat anchovies. Who ordered the anchovies on top of the pineapple? Can I get my own individual one slice of pizza? Like, that's what you end up with. And I think people don't want to reconcile with that, because if you say you're a leader and you say you have a plan, you also end up being beholden to the flaws in that plan.
Right.
And you also end up being responsible for implementing that plan, responsible for putting people in place to implement these plans. You know, it's hard for me to listen to, you know, it's my personal opinion, obviously, but it's hard for me to listen to activists that refuse to participate in any level of political office with people running or to meet with people, but at the same time say, we'll have these plans and then the politicians will implement them. Why would they? How would they? You're not even willing to talk to them about it.
Mm-mm.
So like, that to me, that's silliness, you know? And maybe we have to grow out of that, or maybe that's just some radical shit I just will never be able to completely curl. It's like someone writing into this show, I don't listen to your show, fuck your show, you ain't shit, but can you change the way you do your format of your show?
No.
You mm-hmm. didn't invest in this. I'm mm-hmm. not doing shit for you.
No.
You know, and so I think, you know, it's kind of a interesting time where we're seeing this stuff change on the fly, and maybe from the long distance of history we'll feel differently. But so what I've seen out there is, like, defund the police means a couple of things. The main thing it means is to take the money out of the budgets of these cities that go to police. Some of the time the police get budgets that are like half the city budget and shit, sometimes over half. And if you've been around since 9/11, you've watched the police become militarized and weaponized. Yes. In a way that policing was never meant to be in the United States.
Mm-mm.
Yet there's no, the terrorists are never going to hit Ferguson. So why the fuck is there, you know, police in Ferguson to have a Humvee or a tank or military?
They ain't never going down the street of Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Yeah, or military body armor. Why do they have these things? Okay, because if you have those things, guess what you're gonna do? You're gonna use those things.
Right.
If you have tear gas, you're gonna want to use the tear gas. If you have shields and riot gear, you're gonna want to use that. If you have SWAT stuff, you're gonna want to use that. If you have vehicles designed for, you know, crowd control, you're gonna want to use it. And so when people say defund, I think they're talking about taking away these budgets, talking about keeping, you know, the weaponry, the vehicles, the you know, the body armor, all this stuff out of their hands. And I could not agree with them more. This shit needs to go. I don't know who the fuck could possibly be looking at what the police do, even during these peaceful protests where they are beating black people over the fucking head, pushing old men down. Anyone who sees that and thinks there's not a fucking problem here is insane. And it may not be that I don't believe that you can just pass some new rules. They need to not have the toys. They don't know how to play with them, you know, so they need to give all the shit back. They need to not have so many people employed by the police. You know, when someone's pulling you over for a fucking speeding ticket or some shit, and you fucking get your license and registration out, look up and there's fucking 10 police officers around
you. Yes, that's happened to me. You be scared shitless. You be like, the fuck?
There's too many of them, and they're too afraid of us. So the people they have don't even need to have that job. You know, and I'm sure every cop has a story of some motherfucker that tried to kill them. I'm really not trying to belittle that, because mm-mm. I'm sure that is a traumatic experience.
Right.
But when the answer to that traumatic experience is to weaponize your trauma, that's not okay. We can't be like, well, you'll never get over that one domestic violence case where the dude tried to beat you up, so here's a gun, and anytime you feel scared, pull the trigger and we'll defend you in court. Police unions need to go. These are not unions like for workers. These are not unions like for school teachers. Defund the police. More people need to get behind this, because, and I believe, because people keep thinking it's gonna be like the police budget goes to zero and then the fucking cops just mm-mm. go home and then there's no police anymore and motherfuckers are going doing whatever they want. That's not what it is, and that's sad that people haven't explained it thoroughly enough, and maybe they should have used a different terminology. I will give you that, but mm-hmm. at the end of the day, this is our platform, so let me explain it, right? So now we don't have to worry about that question here. Defund the police is something different than abolish the police, right? Mm-hmm. And I think more people would be behind this, because the idea of going from we have police that are terrible to we don't have any police at all is something that most people will not be able to imagine or support. And I'd rather win some than win none.
Right.
Because we're not getting to abolish the police from where we are now mm-hmm. today. We're not going to get there that fast. And I think that's an important step. So the other thing too is, like, you know, this will require us, you know, defunding some of the taking that same money and then putting it into systems that prevent crime. Things like when you call 911, police should not show up for your relative who's having a mental health crisis, because often they end up killing these people. They're not professionals trained for any of that. They have guns, and that's what they want to do, is use the gun. You know, so that should be a completely different number with resources where we can have somebody come out and help to either calm down or de-escalate that situation. Something that we don't have right now. You know, even when people aren't violent, we have people getting killed by the cops, getting shot by the cops, you know, while they're, you know, in a mental crisis. You know, that's not okay. You know, I do think we need to also have situations where we're giving money to schools. We know for a fact schools, the money you don't put in schools, you put in prison.
Yes.
We know for a fact. There have been study after study after study that has shown you, hey, if you don't fund your schools, you always end up funding the jail. So why can't we flip that? Fund the schools, and then we won't end up having to fund as much jail. We know this for a fucking fact. You know, the defunding our teachers. We're paying some of these officers, you see them get, you know, in these articles all the time, this guy got suspended, he makes $150,000 a year, and I'm like, we don't pay teachers shit.
Mm-mm, they struggling. Most of them end up purchasing a lot of their own school supplies.
Teachers have to buy their school supplies. Teacher in Charlotte, North Carolina, people are having to privately fund the sporting events at schools, at public schools, y'all.
Yeah.
So you got schools where it's like, you gotta buy your kids uniform, you need to, but we gotta buy basketballs, that is ridiculous. We have cut the budget that low here. Very black city, by the way. We have cut the budget that fucking low here. As the population continues to spread, as the population continues to grow, we are cutting the budgets for our schools. What does that mean 10 years from now? What does that mean 20 years from now? We have police officers in our fucking schools. So what happens now when a kid acts up? It becomes a criminal thing. This is no longer a thing that is handled in school. This is no longer, we are now outsourcing this to fucking law enforcement. We talk about these issues all the time on the show. I'd be a fucking hypocrite to come up in here and be like, nah, this defund the police shit, I don't get it, I don't fuck with that. Like, no, I absolutely do fuck with that. That is not that radical. But unfortunately, because it's being explained by the most, it's like socialism, it's being explained right by the most asshole people on Twitter, so you end up with a visceral reaction as a human being to the way they talking and scolding everybody, and you're like, well, fuck you then, you know. But this idea is, it is time. You know, it's beyond time. How many times have we talked about prison and been like, they charge you to fucking talk to your family? People that don't talk to their family are more likely to commit another crime and be right back up in prison.
Yes.
So they're literally feeding themselves off of you. If you don't have the money to keep yourself out of prison again, you're done. You know? So we have to change the police numbers, man, the way they budget, the way they get money, because police also are money making organization for these cities.
Yes, they are.
Okay. This black tax they put on us with warrants and all kinds of stupid ass, like, rolling stops and just stay in our communities looking for any fucking small utterance of the, like, just any small iteration of us fucking up the law, right? Any, oh, this motherfucker right here threw a plastic bag on the ground, littering. Oh, this motherfucker right here standing in front of his building, loitering. Oh, let's just stop and frisk them and hope we find some weed. Cool. We know for a fact that studies show white people use drugs more than black people. White people violate the law in their cars more than black people. Black people still go to jail way more because they are fucking making a tax on our lives. That's what the police are. They're just another wing of a system that is traumatizing and penalizing black life in America. So I don't have any loyalty to the police. I don't have any loyalty to the idea of their sense of law and order. They have never protect and served me. They've served us up, but they've never protect and served us. They don't do that duty. You know, is would I have a problem with the police if they treated us the way they treat white folks? Probably not.
No, right.
It's the reason white people don't have a problem,
right?
So that would be different, because the white people have minimal police in their neighborhood. Police only come when they're called, and they call and they do the job they're supposed to do, and then they fucking leave. Now, unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be on the goddamn table for black people. So I say you just defund their ass. We're always on the other end of the stick. You know, I would love for a cat to get stuck in a tree and I feel like comfortable I could call the police. You know, I've been in situations where I probably should have called the police and was like, I don't know if they gonna come and kill me or come and kill this other person.
Right, I don't want anyone to die.
You know, like, this shit is crazy. You know, so I don't know how anyone can look at what is happening in the world today and, you know, really feel like this idea is too crazy. You know what, you don't think hospitals need money? You don't think schools need money? Like, you are you living in a jurisdiction where every time a fucking bond comes up for schools or new roads and shit, it keeps getting shut down? You don't think these communities need money? Like, instead of gentrifying these communities, how about we fucking restore some of these black communities so that we, you know, so we're not just displacing black people over and over and over again in our cities?
They move from the south side to the north side to the east side to the west side every 10 to 20 years.
So I think you have to see what, before you get all scared of these words, I think you have to see that these words did not arrive today. The slogan might trend today. The idea has been out there for a while. If you look at the preponderance of evidence, if you've been listening to this show for more than today, then you know every fucking, it's like clockwork. Every day there's a story where cops did this, cops did that, prisons are doing this, prisons doing that. You know that the summation of all of that evidence leads to one thing, which is at best, right, we have to reform the entire way police do work. Now, because this is kind of a radical thing that's been going around on Twitter and shit with defund the police, you have a lot of politicians and a lot of people that are like scared of it right away. And I don't blame them, because the groundwork hasn't really been done to educate people, and everyone that's asking questions is basically getting lambasted. And I'm sure that those people who ask questions actually represent way more than just themselves. They represent the majority of people in the United States who are hearing about this term today, right? So that's not, I don't think that's a good way to teach them. But I've seen where Biden and Sanders both said they're not with defunding the police. They actually want to provide them with more resources for training and to give them more money to to monitor police officers and to change these different things. And I'm not even necessarily against that stuff. As far as the programs, my thing is, why they need more money to do that? They already got too much money. How about y'all sell some of them fucking vests or something? You know, how about this? Don't take the Humvee out this weekend and use that money for some training. They have too much money as is. Like, I don't want to defund the police. I want to refund the police. Okay, I have a 90-day receipt. Okay, I know it's been after 90 days.
I mean, because it's your taxpayers' money.
I want my motherfucking money back. That's what I want. I don't want to see just, let's not increase the budget. Nigga, come back. Gimme. Okay? Motherfuckers out here can't even clean the subway every day until COVID hit. Like, what is going on out here?
Yeah, they got potholes in the street for years that won't be fixed.
Right. Motherfucking water is dirty in people's cities and shit. Like, it's so much shit this money could be going to where these niggas don't have to stunt. I don't even see cops riding together in cars no more. Each of these niggas got their own car. What happened? I watched all these buddy cop movies. I was told y'all be in the car mad at each other, making jokes. And now I look up and this niggas just riding dolo? Come on, y'all got too much money. You know, little podunk towns with like six people in them and niggas riding around in fucking Humvees with goddamn, assault rifles and shit. Who are you?
Right, because we seen it. I was like, the fuck is this?
Like, y'all gotta get the fuck out of here, man. So, so I would say that, man. I don't think that idea is that radical. Now, the abolish the police idea is radical. And it is probably beyond most people's perception to imagine a world without police at all. And I mean, part of that's indoctrination, right? We're Americans. We were raised in church. We were raised in a world where things happen and we feel like justice is something happening back to the person that did the thing. And I think that idea to me is the one that is probably the more flaky one, because when you start asking questions, that's when people start shifting and giving mm-hmm. you non-answers.
Right.
And I noticed the non-answers, and I feel like the abolished police people are trying to gaslight folks, and I wish they would just come out and be honest and say, we don't have all the answers and we are kind of hoping to make this up on the fly. I wish they would say that.
Yeah, to just tell people the truth, because when people start asking like the real questions that actually matter, people are dismissed. Because when you tell somebody, okay, I want to abolish them, and the next question is, what will take its place? Because bitch, something's going to take its place. I'm sorry, you know, I understand you want to abolish it, and then what?
Well, I'll give you a great example. Abolishing slavery, right? The abolition of slavery, I think everyone would agree, great thing. We all agree that's what should have been done. What took its place, right? Sharecropping in many cases, which is essentially slavery with more steps. Shout out to Rick and Morty. You know, so you like this idea of, I'm so pure, I refuse to engage in any part of the solution. I just am here to destroy the institution. Seems cool on social media. It's a great stance to take to make yourself look good and to pat yourself on the back. But then when I'm like, so what are you leaving us to?
Right.
What then becomes the program? You know, in the Daily Show, you know, I think Trevor Noah asked about this, and then one of the people that was there was like, well, I have a daughter. You think I don't worry about my daughter getting kidnapped? I mean, you know, and that was her answer. And I was like, that's not a fucking answer.
No, that is not.
No, no offense to her, you know, but you're shuffling the deck on me and playing cards. If somebody gets kidnapped in the world where we don't have fucking police, what does that mean?
What is the answer? What is the solution? People want to
know. That's not, they're not assholes for wanting to know. They're not against you because they have a question and a real legitimate concern. Even if we don't have police, as much crime is a function of police creating criminals and as a resource and all this shit. I get that. Not against you. There is going to be crime. Still.
Yes.
So then what does that mean for me? What does that mean for you? What does that mean for our society? What does that mean for even restorative justice? Like, people don't want nebulous answers of it's gonna be different for every situation. Mm-hmm. And how do you feel like that people don't want
to
hear that.
That's not an answer, because for me, bitch, I want to know what happened to the people that go fuck your restorative justice. I don't care about your rules. What are you gonna do with the people that are habitual people who are like, fuck it, I'm gonna rape is what I do. What are the people that's like, I'm gonna rob is what I do. Okay, how many times I get caught, this is what I do. What do you do with those people? Because those people do exist.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing that they don't want you to talk about,
right?
And they just kind of make fun of you for asking, as if it's not a real concern.
It's valid.
You know, I don't know if they've just never had it happen to them, or if they're just so gung-ho that they don't give a fuck about other people feeling a way about it. Or maybe that's the answer, is that nothing's gonna happen. You know, maybe they are scared to say that. You're gonna have to learn to forgive people that do horrible things to people. And we're just gonna have to let that go. Either way, right. You need to answer it.
Right, because I need to know, because this is the thing. I can forgive you and still be like, lock you up. I can do both. I can say, I forgive you for what you've done to me, but you need to go to jail. I as a victim, have that right.
Yeah, some people will argue that you can't do both, you know, or maybe in this system, you don't have that option anymore.
Right.
And then, you know, and if that's the case, just say it. I just need to know. Like, it's like they want me to go look behind door number one, look behind door number two, and then I go, okay, so before I pick, what's behind them? You know, and they go, one of them, they're like, well, we can kind of tell you what's behind this. Okay, we're gonna take this money, we're gonna put it in other resources, we're gonna strip down the police department, we're gonna make sure they don't have as many people, they don't have as much power, they don't have as many weapons, blah blah. We're gonna put more money in schools, we're gonna put more money in medical care, we're gonna put more money in these other resources and fire departments that have first responders, all this shit, right? No one hates the fire department because the fire department does a specific job and they do it hopefully well, but they have a specific job, right? We all love the fire department. They show up, there's a fire, these niggas show up. Somebody get a heart attack, these niggas show up. Like, they have a specific job,
right?
Cops have a nebulous job. You know, are they hunting down a burglar? Are they here to intimidate you from doing crime? Are they here to avenge the crimes that have already happened? Are they here to just keep black people in line? Are they here to keep a stalker away from your house? Like, what are they here for? What is that? Are they here to get cats out of trees, right? We call them heroes, but we also want them to look like a paramilitary organization. What the fuck do they do? What exactly are they? Why isn't shit specific for them? Right. And so there's one avenue that seems pretty well thought out and explained. There's this other one where they're just like, imagine a new world. Isn't it fun to imagine? And I think it is fun to imagine for some people, but I feel like this isn't a fun thing for a lot of people. This is life and death. Right. So I need an answer as to what happens, because, you know, when we do the Ollie Ollie Oxa free everybody out of jail, what does this mean for the black women that I love who have been stalked by somebody and the only thing keeping them away is that there's a jail or there's a restraining order or there's, right, you know, some fear that that the police are gonna get them? What about, you know, we do have these stories where someone's online, I'm gonna shoot up a fucking school, I'm gonna kill everybody in that bitch, I'm saying it on Facebook, see you bitches in the morning, all your kids dying, and the police go out there and get them. Do we go, oh man, I don't know about that, man, like, we need something else to happen? Like, I do understand that there's gonna be some fucked up ugly situations that we don't have very nice answers for, but I would like people to be honest about that up front,
right? And tell me the truth, because for me personally, when I hear that, I hear lawlessness. Like, I don't, okay, like in my mind, okay, what happens? Who's accountable? Who's responsible? Who's going to enforce shit? Because people will continue to do crimes and they need to be accounted for. Like, I understand forgiveness. Yes, I can forgive all day long. But just because I forgive you does not mean I you should be able to function and run around free all the time. You know, and the thing is, the problem is that there needs to be different levels according to what you do, you know, but you still have to have a system, something in place, someone to enforce these things. Because the thing is, what do you have when you say abolish police and then the KKK decides it wants to ride again? The fuck am I supposed to do?
Yeah, these are the questions I have, and I think those are legitimate questions. Like, okay, so we send all the officers home. I'm cool with that. I don't necessarily feel beholden to these motherfuckers, but I do recognize I'm sending a bunch of well-armed white racist men into this world, and we don't have any force. We don't have anyone that's supposed to regulate these people anymore. You know, this is still America. We're not taking all the guns away.
No.
You know, no matter how wild these imaginations are, I still haven't seen anyone pitching let's disarm everybody. You know, so this is a world where everyone still got guns, and if you look in America, who mostly got the guns? It ain't us. You know, so I do worry about the safety of the black community within this. You know, I know we want to stop, like, put it this way, I guess the best way to sum it up, we've been talking about this forever, there's gonna be consequences no matter what the fuck people do, and I don't think it's cute to say I'm for the most radical thing ever, but also I'm not a leader, so don't look at me, everyone's equal, so don't also I'm not going to replace this with anything because I don't want to be blamed for whatever the fuck shortcomings the replacement has. I'm just with get rid of everything, fuck it. And when we say okay, fuck it and start over, yeah, just start over. Okay, what will you be part of the start over? No, just fuck it, start everyone. I just know that this is bad, and I think that puts, feel like, people, when America catches the cold, we get the coronavirus, we get still getting the same fucking situation because we're still living in a white supremacist nation. And there's, the only thing that has really seemed to work for black people has been some of these rules. That's why because I actually read the article, I know most people didn't, but that's why when I saw the Joe Biden headline, the op-ed he wrote about, I don't want to defund the police, I actually want to give them like $300 million, and I was like rolling my eyes, and I went and read the shit, and I realized what he's trying to do. He's trying to do something that's actually worked before, which is kind of his thing, you know. He's trying to basically do what they did with affirmative action. Now, you'll have people that go, fuck affirmative action, blah blah blah, but affirmative action versus what the fuck we have without it, I think most of us know we're better off with it.
Yeah, a lot of us wouldn't have the jobs we have right now if it wasn't for it.
Because unfortunately, what affirmative action recognizes is that this is a white supremacist racist country, and when left to their own devices, white people would rather hire white people who are actually unqualified but a friend. And
right.
And if two candidates were equal and one's white, they would pick the white person 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. And when we know this from years and years and years of nepotism and whiteness running shit, the only way to get people to do this is to pass laws that says, hey, one, that's illegal, you gotta have some black people at your job. Two, if you do this, we will incentivize you with money. Okay, this is still a capitalist country, so that money talks. And so you'll have these motherfuckers that go, well, I guess I'll hire some blacks because look at this, we get more money from the government, we get more tax breaks, we get more stipends, so we'll get more government contracts, so now we're gonna hire some black people. Well, we would have been happy hiring none. Okay, still putting those black people in mostly hostile environments, but you know it's gonna be fucked up no matter what the decision is. So This is the fucked up that helps some black people as opposed to the fucked up that would have helped none of us, right? I read that op-ed and I realized he's trying to do the same thing with police, because he, remember, policing is mostly a small government problem. the federal government really can't do much about policing. Even when they are willfully, like, the police are corrupt and bad, the most they can do is a study, some fines. They're not in the business or even with the capacity to go district by district and fix each police force. Mm-mm. You know, Obama and Eric Holder had a will to fix things.
Yes.
And the most they got was like the Ferguson report, which was beautiful, and it solved a lot of it answered a lot of questions and speculations. They turned a lot of anecdotal stuff into actual legitimate, like, statistical evidence, right? Very, very powerful to this day. That Ferguson report proves without a doubt to any person who's questioning the black experience that police monetize the over policing of black people, and they turn it into a way to fuel the economy of their jurisdiction. We know that for a fact now. Black people been feeling that, but we fucking know, right? But there's only so much they can do. They can't be like, okay, fire your police chief, hire this many people from the community, okay, disband your police department. They can only do so much.
It takes the will of the people of the area.
Right. So this is how federal government tricks local government. They go, here's a stipend. Here's $300 million. Would you like some of $300 million? And in the greed of these local municipalities, they normally go, yeah, we want some money. And they go, okay, you can have some money. Here are the rules you have to have.
Right.
So you are now signing a contract with the federal government. You're now clicking agree to these terms, click and accept. And you are going accept. And they go, ha ha, got your ass. Now anytime you do some racist shit, we now have some jurisdiction to come in here and be like, we're firing this motherfucker right here. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because you agreed you would not do these things if you took this money.
Right.
Now what I think of, I mean, I think everything has limits from the federal government, but
yes,
what I would be more concerned about is that some of these local jurisdictions will say, well, if the fucking city is giving us half the budget, I don't need one blank percentage of $300,000, I don't care. Like, keep the money. We want to continue to be racist. That's what I think would happen. Now, we don't know for a fact because it hasn't been implemented. It's just all this shit is theoretical right now, but that's what I would be concerned about, is just your local police department being like, we don't want to be in the program. You know what I mean? Like,
keep your money.
Yeah, fuck the money. I just want to be racist. Like, I'm already racist and paid, bitch. You know, like, I could see them doing that, you know. But yeah, that's what people didn't understand. They're not gonna read it, and they don't care. They don't like Biden or whatever. And at the end of the day, I mean, I don't even care, because the reason Biden's the candidate is because he's a white dude. It won't matter in a week.
Right.
This shit that he said won't even haunt him. Friday will be off of this. Mm-hmm. This is what the fuck it is with this dude.
Right.
So yeah, man, that's kind of some of my thoughts going on in my head about all this, defund the police, prison abolitionists, all this shit. And of course, the other element I forgot to get into is, activists is beefing too. So you got all that going behind this shit too. Cause, I know Campaign Zero did a thing where it's like, 8 Can't Wait is this, initiative where they want to put some restrictions on the police and pass some new reform laws and stuff. And then some very smart non-black people on Twitter. I don't know if that matters to y'all, but I just wanted to point it out. The threads I saw, some non-black people broke down the statistical analysis of why 8 Can't Wait is not a good enough plan. And why only abolition of the police and only defunding the police and stuff can work. And I don't disagree with that at all. I think I looked at the statistical breakdown of why this shit wouldn't work the way that they said, and it made sense to me. It wouldn't work. Like, some of this stuff they wanted to pass, you know, you can't escalate force till you exhaust all other recourse. You can't use a chokehold. You can't do this. And it's like, a lot of these places already use these things and they still kill black people at will.
Right.
So these aren't really solutions. And I said, you know what? That's a good point. You know, what am I going to do? You know what I mean? What am I not admit? Like, you made some good fucking points. This is not enough. And to their credit, you know, the dude Sam from that site, he was on the Daily Show as well. they backed off of it and they changed the initiatives on the site and they added prison police abolition to it and all this stuff. And you know, and I think that was a good thing. You know, I think Brittany Pagnetti might have left the fucking organization behind all this shit. So, you know, I know she's kind of blowing up in the activist sphere, so they might have lost a rider, you know, behind this shit. And a lot of people already don't like DeRay. A lot of people, you know, it's kind of like the Sean King thing where,
right,
I know DeRay and Sean King don't fuck with each other, but a lot of people just in general don't fuck with either one of them, or they have their own gripes against them. And mm-hmm. you know, that's why I don't really try to get on here and like advocate for any singular activist, because mm-hmm. I don't know these niggas and I don't know what they're gonna do.
I don't know what happened behind the scenes.
Yeah, like I don't know any of this shit, but the point being, like, a lot of those people have been waiting for ammunition to talk shit about DeRay, to talk shit about Campaign Zero, to talk shit about all of this stuff, you know. And so they made a misstep in a lot of people's eyes, and now they getting roasted, you know. And is that really for the movement? Is that really for Black lives? I don't know. I never know what these activists, what's for Black lives and what's this nigga cut me in line at Popeyes one day. I'll never know, you know what I mean? So I try to stay away from that shit, but you know, I will see, man. I think right now is a beautiful time to be alive, because a lot of theory is becoming reality.
Yes,
a lot of things that have been theory are at least being questioned to see if they could become reality.
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm not against hoping and dreaming and things like that. I'm completely not against it at all. My thing is that you have to get most people to a place where they're allowed to dream. And if I'm worried about dying right now, dreaming ain't on the top of the agenda.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. It's a beautiful time. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just looking at it that way. Like, it's dope that people are actually listening, and I'm not trying to get into the, these people is stupid and these people are smart. I really, mm-hmm. I can only be honest about, or I'm gonna only be honest about shit. I don't truly understand all the workings of the abolitionist thing. It feels a little bit more hippie in the sky type of, you know, like, and it's just beautiful to dream. What a, imagine a world. And I don't know that there's a place on earth that has no police, that has no, you know, when someone does a crime, just nothing fucking happens at all. I don't know a place like that. Maybe it exists and I just haven't heard of it yet. I have read a couple of books. I read Angela Davis's book, Freedom is a Constant Struggle. I've read, of course, Locking Up Our Own. I mean, you know, and I have more to read. I still have so much on my Kindle to read. So I don't know, man. I mean... Everything has limits because humanity is limited, and people do things all the time without really fitting into these neat little lines. So, you know, we'll see. You know, I know we talked for an hour about police and all this stuff and all this and whatnot, and we're gonna try to get into some other stuff, but with this conversation, it's really felt like something we needed to at least touch on.
Yes.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow, a reading
rainbow. So you decided to play music after all?
Yeah, it's the longest reading rainbow of all time.
We broke our own personal records.
Yeah, that's an hour and 3 minutes of reading rainbow. So, you know what?
We had a lot to say, y'all.
Yeah.
Because we had been talking about it earlier.
Yeah. Karen's come around a little bit now that we're on the mic. Cause she was completely against all this shit.
Oh, I was mad at first. What the fuck is this?
I was like, why are you so angry? What is These are just ideas. None of this shit is even real yet.
Not understanding, trying to put it all together. Because, you know, I'm like, a lot of people, you're hearing these words for the first time. Everybody's giving the definitions. You're trying to compute. You're trying to wrap your mind around the concepts and what do they mean. And how do these things, like human beings, directly impact me?
Yeah, so it's good to see you get on the mic, and you know, it was a little different in the car, but I'm glad you
calmed down. I was kind of hot in the car.
Yeah, I mean, these, you know, these are ideas from people trying to help. So all right, let's see, where should we start? I guess we'll start with coronavirus stuff.
What about that bitch still around?
Of course. I hope y'all ain't forgot.
Right. No, I ain't forget, you know, but the way the news and stuff going, they talk about everything but coronavirus.
All right. Have I done Van? I don't want to go coronavirus. Have we done this one?
Oh, I don't know.
Let's see.
As the coronavirus pandemic brings life across the country to a grinding halt, Americans are facing a new normal, one that may include losing their jobs, losing their income, and losing their health insurance.
Enough of that!
They don't wanna write, so I let it go. I be reminiscing shit every day. I feel it in my heart, down in my soul. They say you only got one shot in life. I pray the Jah come stronger this way. Cause I don't wanna go, I don't wanna go. I don't wanna go, I don't wanna go. I don't wanna go, I don't wanna go. They don't wanna write, so I let it go. I be reminiscing shit every day. I feel it in my heart, down in my soul.
This is not about coronavirus.
Got one shot in life. I pray the Jah comes stronger this way. Cause I don't wanna go, I don't wanna go. I don't wanna go.
That's the whole song.
Oh, that song was not about coronavirus.
What? Like, he played a clip from the news about coronavirus.
And then the
rest. And then he just said, I don't want to go. And what kind of accent was that? Was that supposed to be Jamaican?
I don't know.
That sounds like me and Justin trying to do Jamaican accents when we talked about Luke Cage.
That was
horrible.
I'm very, very confused by this coronavirus song.
Jesus.
I get that. Then they know.
Yeah, that's one of the worst ones we ever played.
Two thumbs down.
As I get further down on this list, these are getting bad.
Yeah, they're getting real bad, y'all.
All right. So, coronavirus. 9 states where COVID-19 hospitalizations are now spiking after reopening.
You don't say? Because, you know what? It's a lot of shit happening. You got the states reopening at the same time the protests are happening.
Yeah.
So, we don't know which group is going to be in there. The people that are like, I'm getting my hair and nails did. Or the people that's like, Black Lives Matter.
Well, the Black Lives Matter stuff has just turned 2 weeks old, I believe, for the George Floyd protests. So this should be about the time where we start seeing a lot of, if people were getting it out there, this is about the time we're going to start seeing it pop up. 9 states are seeing spikes in the number of people that have, and oh, by the way, it'll keep rising because more and more people kept coming, and that didn't peak until probably last week, and maybe it's still peaking. I don't know.
Yeah, they're gonna be out there. Some of them might be out there for a while.
Yeah, this weekend I saw marches all over the world.
Yes,
and
it looked like
they were
thousands
so many
of
people,
like almost people as far as your eyes could see.
They had masks, but they didn't have social distancing, and you know, so you just gotta hope that people are okay. You know, anyway. 9 states are seeing spikes in the numbers of people who have been hospitalized for COVID-19 since Memorial Day, as Arizona's health department told hospitals to activate coronavirus emergency plans to prepare for a surge in new cases. Coronavirus hospitalizations have been increasing in at least 9 states, mostly in the south and northwest of the country over the past 2 weeks. Arizona, Texas, North Carolina, and Utah are among those who have seen record spikes in hospitalizations since the coronavirus pandemic broke out in mid-March. It's funny because
we were doing good until they was like, let's slowly open up.
I don't even feel like we were doing good because of that. I think we're gonna see a spike because of the protests too, man. I just
don't
know how
too.
We don't
yeah
I, you
yeah.
know I have a friend who's an activist and I see her out there all the time at night, and them people are not 6 feet apart. They be having their mask down so they can yell and shit. They not doing this stuff. And I, you know, I'm thankful for them, and I, you know, I'm glad my Black life matters to them and all that stuff, but I worry about their Black lives, because this shit affects us more than anybody. And if these hospitals get full, what are they gonna do with us? You know, I'm nervous. There's some things that just, there's not a good, I know I'm supposed to feel inspired and feel good. That's the right way to feel, but I don't feel inspired and feel good about some of this shit. The little girl out there protesting, they keep showing her on the news. I'm like, that little girl doesn't get to be a baby. Mm-mm. You know, she don't get to be a little girl. She's born into the fucking fight, man.
Yes, she is.
Like, it's sad. It's not, like, it makes me angry that she can't be just a kid. She gotta be out here protesting for no justice, no peace, and she knows who George Floyd is and why he was died at such a young fucking age, man. This shit is all, it's just bad. It's just complicated, man. Like, I'm proud of her, you know? Like, she gives me hope to a certain extent, but she also shows me how much hope doesn't mean shit, because how many people hoped our kids wouldn't be having to do this?
Agreed.
The increase in hospitalizations in those 9 states has occurred as states reopened and large gatherings were held across the country over the Memorial Day weekend. All of those states, apart from Mississippi, are now virus hotspots after all seeing increases in the number of infections in the past week. The uptick, which could lead authorities to reimpose or tighten strict public health restrictions, complicates efforts to reopen the economy that have been devastated by stay-at-home efforts that were placed across much of the U.S. More than 112,000 Americans have now died for coronavirus, and 1.9 million have been infected in the past 3 months. Arizona, which was among the first states to reopen from lockdowns, has seen a surge in hospitalizations and cases in recent weeks. The number of positive or suspected hospitalized.
When are one of the last ones to close too?
Probably. I mean, it's a Republican place, I believe, so.
Yeah, ain't that the trip? The last ones to close were the first people to open back up.
Yeah, it's so funny because I saw an interview on the Daily Social Distance show where Trevor Noah was talking to a dude that was, forget who he worked for, CDC or WHO or something. He was like, it's weird. No, it was the mayor. It was the governor of California. And Gavin Newsom, I think. And he was just like, yeah, it's weird that people are calling it a lockdown or not lockdown or reopen. Every state that reopened got restrictions. Every state that's locked down has some freedoms. No one did a complete lockdown in America, period.
Right, where nobody could move around.
Yeah, only maybe New York you could argue, but they had people going to work, using the subway, all that shit. No one's 100% locked down, so that terminology makes no sense. Americans are misusing household cleaners to combat COVID-19.
Oh shit, what they doing?
Yeah, so apparently people have been using the cleaners in ways that are not suggested. 19% of responders said they were using bleach to wash their food.
What, bitch?
What in the food line is happening here?
I guess they want all their food to be white.
18% use household cleaners to wash their hands or body. So they're not using soap. Soap is all you need.
Yes, it is.
What are y'all motherfucking taking baths in common and shit? Bleach like the Cuomo house.
Y'all almost not like y'all skin.
6% admitted to inhaling vapors from household cleaners.
Oh, you just getting high.
And 4% admitted to drinking or gargling diluted bleach or other household solutions. No.
Why?
Oh no, baby, no.
I understand. I was paranoid because I thought the Rona was going, you know, I was gonna walk outside and the Rona was just gonna beat me up, but I wasn't that bad. I knew not to do that. You know, the labels on the side, when they get instructions, that shit still apply. Like, bleach is still bleach, my nigga.
Don't be out here inhaling bleach vapor, okay?
If anybody got a problem with selling good, old-fashioned, regular drugs, you should tell me now.
Yeah, what's wrong with just good, old-fashioned, regular drugs?
Regular-ass drugs.
Mm-mm. I'm good with all of that. That's... Y'all scare me, okay? Alright. 7 mistakes you shouldn't make at a reopened restaurant. Okay.
Well, I wouldn't know, because it's probably gonna be a while before our poor friends see us again.
Mistake one, going.
That's what I said.
That's what we have right now.
We like, no, we'll just order, y'all come here.
Number one, eating inside. If the restaurant you're going to has outdoor seating, it's safer than eating indoors. Air conditioning may spread the virus, and you won't have to worry about that in an open air seating. Two, putting your mask on the table. People putting their mask on the table?
Yeah, I mean, you can just take it and put it around your neck. Well, I guess depending on what kind you have on.
I mean, put it in your purse or your pocket if you have to. If you have to,
yeah, because you know some go all the way around, and yeah, then but some only go around the ears.
If you put it on the table, though, you're definitely picking up whatever was on the table.
Yeah,
touching everything and not washing your hands. I mean, that was a mistake before,
before the coronavirus.
Coronavirus.
That's how shit spread before. That's not new.
Coronavirus. Four, ordering shared appetizers. Oh yeah, you go out with some people.
Right, yeah.
Like, oh yeah, let's all eat the dip, and then you dipping it back in there, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah,
particularly with people that you're not quarantined with. Mm-hmm. You know, we quarantined together, so if we shared, we already got what the other one got. But yeah, if you know we go out with somebody else, we don't know what they got or if they've been properly social distancing.
Yeah. I'm not really sure that one matters that much, because you should be like, it's only then don't touch your face. Like, I hope you're not eating and touching your face during this time,
right?
Like, even when I eat delivery or something from home, I just don't touch my face until, like, I wash my hands and all that shit before I put it in different containers. I do all the shit, but just in case so coronavirus slipped through, I don't touch my face until after I'm done eating, and then I'll wash my hands again and all that. So, sitting near the air conditioner, don't do that. Well, you told us not to sit inside.
Right. So air conditioner ought to just be common sense. I mean, it's getting ready to be 100 degrees in a lot of places pretty soon. So right, a lot of people are like, I'm not sitting outside.
My mask be feeling weird just getting into the car sometimes. I'm like, whoo, right? I hope I don't pass out.
I didn't realize it got so, you know, because this shit started in March. It was cool. Now you walk outside, Your whole bottom and upper lip just break out into sweat. You're like, shit, what is happening?
Don't wait for your table by the host stand, because I guess that's a lot of high traffic area. People be coming there, yes, breathing. Five, not leaving a generous tip. That's a big mistake people are making right now, guys. And yeah, well, they're getting less people in. Everyone can't eat inside. They're risking their lives to serve you this shit. I get it. Yeah, tip them better. Tip them well if you're not already doing that.
Correct. You should have been doing before, because you're not cooking.
Right. All right. Let's see. Let's get into some other new segments here, guys.
Let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me?
All All right, let's get to this horrible, horrible news segment. LGBTQ news is where we got to talk about our LGBTQ fam, especially within the Black community, but all the news stories that are affecting them. And as bad as it is for everyone else, it's terrible for them. We catch a flu. We catch a cold, they catch a flu, okay? For straights. And yeah, let's get into it. So the biggest story of the last couple of weeks has been Black trans woman Iyanna Dior was attacked by a mob. Now she did survive, thank God. I did not watch this video. I have no fucking interest in seeing this video. I don't watch videos of the cops beating up Black people. I don't want to watch a video of Black people mobbing up on another Black person on some transphobic shit. And from my understanding, the reason that it happened was because she was like moving someone, a friend's car, and she bumped a couple of cars or something, and then all of a sudden people were dragging her and trying to beat her up in the convenience store. No one jumped in to help. I don't even think the police were called, which, you know, as a prison abolitionist, I guess I don't want them called. Psych, I will pick up the fucking phone so fast. Anyway,
I'm trying to tell you, I will use my name to its fullest power.
Right. I can't imagine what visions of this, in the ways that visions of me watching as a Black man, watching Black men get killed by the cops fucking horrify me and just make me feel trauma and stuff. I can't imagine being a trans person and watching this, and then it's happening from your own community. And of course, we know that within the Black community, trans women are being killed at a much higher rate than anyone else. And within the trans community, Black trans women are being killed at a much higher rate than anyone else. In a Facebook video shared after the attack, which, why are you sharing a Facebook video? They want you to see this ignorance. It's the same reason white people share racism Facebook. Well, we're like, why would you share that? That makes you look bad. They don't think it makes them look bad. That's how fucking, pervasive transphobia is. They feel like, yes, sharing this because this is how it's supposed to be. In a Facebook video shared after the attack, she explained she'd been trying to move a friend's car when she hit parked cars in the neighborhood, which she described as a hood gang area. Dior said she offered to pay one person $500 for the damage, and that she wanted to get gas station get to the gas station as tempers flare. I wanted to get to the store because that's the only thing that's running through my mind is, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die on camera. As of last, you have to think of that. That's crazy. As of last week, neither Minneapolis nor St. Paul. I mean, listen, I've made this analogy before. I know a lot of Black dudes hate to hear me say this shit, but I really don't give a fuck. What are you gonna do? We are like the police in our own communities at times. You know what I mean? The way that we as Black men fear being around the police, and we get all the arguments of police, not all police is bad. Well, if a police do that, this is a bad apple and all this shit. Well, what, 20 bad apples beat this woman up? Not one good apple in the bunch? Not one to intervene? And what are y'all doing? Stop. None of that shit happened. And then we have the nerve to be like, why are you making me feel bad because this happened? Like, you should feel bad. This is part of our culture. This is us doing this, you know. And I know there were some women that participated in this shit too, you know, like, straight people are dangerous. And you wonder why, well, I can't believe trans people don't just expose, like, why aren't you just telling me right away what's going on with your genitalia and all this shit? It's like, because, nigga, you are fucking dangerous. You know, like, you are dangerous. Why tell you anything? I'm trying, now it's a survival, I don't know if this is a survival encounter or what. You know, I would love to see you get the benefit of the doubt because we both Black, but so are a lot of people killing trans people. As of last week, neither Minneapolis nor St. Paul Police Department had received official reports. Even still, the story of people ganging up to hurt a Black trans woman struck a brutally familiar chord with many. According to the Advocates for the Human Rights Campaign, at least 26 trans and gender nonconforming people were killed in the United States last year. The majority of the victims were Black women. Already, the campaign says 2020 has seen deaths of at least 12 more people. We say at least because too often these stories go unreported or misreported. Yep. The names of this year's fallen include Tony McDade, a black trans man who was allegedly killed by police in Tallahassee only days before Dior was attacked, and a day after George Floyd, another black man was killed by Minneapolis police officers. LGBTQ plus people historically and currently face higher rates of violence than their straight and cisgender peers, Outfront Minnesota, a queer trans advocacy group, said on Wednesday. These rates of violence are drastically increased by BIPOC, black indigenous people of color, LGBTQ plus communities, and the trans community, especially trans women of color, also frequently face violence from the police. Yeah, call the police. What they gonna do? Are they even gonna help?
Are they gonna start harassing me?
Dior has posted a few videos since the footage of the attack got out, mostly thanking people for their help. She's received the outpouring of support for the trans community, allies, as well as donations. If you want to help, donate to a Cash App handle. $ Ayanna D-I-O is I-Y-A-N-N-A-D-I-O. And sometimes I feel bad about that too, because like, we don't have justice for people, so we community GoFundMe raise money for folks in its wake, because we know we're not getting justice. Mm-hmm. And that goes for victims of police violence, people of transphobic violence, all this stuff. Like, well, we know we can't get you justice, here's some money.
Yep.
Oh, we at the break, hold on. Yep. 1 second. Yeah, we got cut off. My bad, I wasn't looking at the clock. Let's go to the next story. J.K. Rowling is back in the news for being transphobic again. Man, that's crazy. I would not have called that. Like, back in the day, like, I know she's a well-known, she's probably at this point a well-known transphobic person, but man, like, that is crazy. She
don't like money.
She don't give a fuck. I don't even think she got all the money.
That's true. That's probably, maybe she don't care.
And she just don't give a fuck. She thinks she's really fighting for the rights of cisgender women that are somehow under attack from the existence of trans women. Famed Harry Potter and author J.K. Rowling is still under fire for making anti-transgender remarks on Twitter over the weekend. Yeah, then she wrote a long ass blog. I think she talked about being sexually assaulted in it, which I'm not really sure how that plays into being transphobic. And it also plays into this idea that trans people are all like rapists and shit, and that the only reason that someone would want to transition to a woman is for access to women to rape them, which is a big thing that even though, despite all factual evidence pointing that this is the case, who needs facts when you're fearful? Okay, facts, fear over facts,
right?
I'm scared, so,
and that's all that matters apparently.
I'm scared and I don't understand, so I think I get to say. You don't get to say shit.
Yeah, instead of me saying nothing, I'd rather just spew all this hatred.
What's more powerful, a scared white woman or a scared cop? I don't know. It's a real race.
Yeah,
race to the top,
race to the finish line.
When asked to comment on Rowling's tweets that attacked the validity of transgender women's sexuality and spurred an intense backlash on social media, Universal Parks and Resorts, which hosts the Wizarding World of Harry Potter theme parks and rides, affirmed its commitment to diversity and inclusion. Our core values include diversity, inclusion, and respect for all of our guests, as well as our team members. Our theme parks are places where people and families of all types are welcome to enjoy their time together. Beyond that, we have no further comment. So, I mean, they didn't really say much. That's not, I mean, obviously they didn't side with her, but right. You know, it's not like they, but the bar is the floor. She made the bar the floor. So literally just being like, these niggers are people is enough for most people. Universal Park statement arrived on the heels of two biggest stars of Rowling based properties, Eddie Redmayne and Daniel Method Maine. I'm just kidding. Daniel Radcliffe. Both making separate public statements disagreeing with the author and asserting that transgender women are women. So both of these cisgender white men get it.
Yeah, because the thing is, it's so big. They have like a whole ass theme parks, whole ass like areas of like amusement parks, like cruises, you name it. It's Harry Potter something attached with it.
Yeah, so JK continues to do the most and the least at the same time. I honestly, man, let me tell you, bigotry make people so fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, think about what I'm saying. Let's say she really believed this. let's say a lot of y'all believe this, y'all really walk around this earth like, fuck trans people. She makes so much money to just let them use the license,
right,
to Harry Potter. She honestly could shut the fuck up for the rest of her life about this. No one would ever have to know she hates trans people, and no one would ever have to know that it hasn't made her any money hating trans people.
Right, just cash your check, baby.
You look at the people who got her back, and it's a bunch of white supremacists, alt-right type people, and bigots and shit. Like, it's a bunch of people that, like, it's just crazy she couldn't have just kept it to herself. I know in the ideal world everyone gets it. It's like the restorative justice thing. In the ideal world, the guy goes, I don't want to rape no more, thank you for helping me. But we don't live in an ideal world, right? So let's say some people in the world are like, I'm gonna keep raping. Some people in the world are like, I'm gonna keep being a transphobe. But couldn't you keep it to yourself though?
Yes.
Is that crazy to ask?
No.
You know, if I like, I don't really have any type of one of these bigotries, but let's make one up. If I hated Albanian people, like my thing was, I hate Albanian people for no fucking reason. I'm racist against Albanian people.
Aww.
If that was my thing, why the fuck would I need to come out and tell y'all that's my thing?
Mm-mm.
It don't affect nothing. It ain't gonna make me no money.
Oh no.
It's only gonna piss somebody off. Even, you know, it's gonna piss people off on the other people's behalf. She can't even approach it from that perspective of just,
nope,
there's nothing to gain from me here. No. And every argument against trans people has been made. So J.K. Rowling making an argument is not going to change the landscape. It's only going to turn people who thought you might probably had no opinion or assumed the best of you and thought you were supportive into being like, fuck you. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's, man, that is, people really be hating.
They do. It's not smart.
Oh my god. Anyway, Monroe Bergdorf, I don't know if you remember when we talked about her, but she is a trans woman who, if I'm not mistaken, spoke out, was it against L'Oreal or just the fashion industry's systemic racism, and they got rid of her. I think she was like, I think she was already so what happened was, on Twitter, someone, Sharon Shooter, I think is her name, has been leading the way with the hashtag called Pull Up or Shut Up. So basically, people put out these Black Lives Matter to us today, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome us to the cookout. And then everyone goes, oh man, look at L'Oreal, they care about Black Lives. This you? And they pull up some old shit like, remember when you had said, remember this? And so I do remember we covered on the show how they basically was like, we have inclusion, we got a Black trans woman.
Oh, and then they turned around and got rid of her.
She started expressing some pro-Black opinions, and it was like, the fuck? We said diversity on the cover, not diversity in the brain. What you doing in here with these other opinions and life experiences?
Not no real diversity.
Right. So, several brands share their demographics of like who works for them and all that shit. In many cases, initiatives to fix areas where they fall short. On June 9th, L'Oreal Paris UK announced that it will be adding model Monroe Bergdorf to its newly created Diversity and Inclusion Advisory Board, as well as donating to two organizations that support members of the LGBTQ plus community in the United Kingdom. Public statements released by both parties shared that L'Oreal Paris, current president Delphine Vigier, spoke with Bergdorf this week to discuss inclusivity within the company. This comes 3 years after the brand ended their partnership that it had with Bergdorf, the first trans model featured in a campaign for L'Oreal Paris UK after she spoke up against systemic racism. Though Bergdorf does not intend to forget about what happened in the past, she wants to use it and her platform to move forward and promote growth and change. Girl, you better get that this you money. Okay, I ain't mad. Shit, anybody calling you a sellout for this? Fuck them. They broke anyway.
Come on, they broke.
And they don't smell as nice as you gonna be smelling. Fuck them. In her statement, Bergdorf wrote, I thought it would be a perfect opportunity to practice what I preach and take up that seat at the table to be representation that we deserve as a community. Like, what? Here's the other thing. We have to stop knocking people for trying to be part of the solution after they've been on the outside advocating to be part of the solution. What's the point of having all the answers and none of the power?
None of the power.
All the answers and no influence.
And that's, none of the responsibility. Some people like it like that, because once you come in, you're actually held accountable and responsible for everything you say. And then shit get real. Well, you go, oh, I got to implement this shit.
So I don't know if a lot of people have been knocking her, but if so, cut it out. Like, we need people like this. She clearly is down for the community. She ain't worked in, you know, or she hasn't worked with them in 3 years because she stood up for black people. So now that she getting some change off of this shit and some ability to affect change for other black folks and other brown people and LGBTQ people, man, yo, nothing but the best for Monroe Bergdorf. Glad we got a happy ending to that story, even though it took 3 years and, you know, obviously fucked them for them 3 years. Cause clearly we know they didn't renew that shit because she stood up for black people.
Of course.
Let's see. And the brat feels weight has been lifted since coming out as a lesbian.
You know, on the low, I always thought she was.
Not on the low, on the high key, everyone thought she was.
Yeah, I always thought she was. She just didn't say nothing. I was like, okay.
But she was still in a male-dominated industry that, in their opinion, women are supposed to be sexy. And I remember when she kind of came, like, she was already out as a rapper, and it was kind of, she had a very, like, quote-unquote tomboyish look to her. Mm-hmm. And so everybody was kind of like, oh, yeah, she could rap. They kind of gravitated towards that. But then there was this push at one point when Lil' Kim was out that every rapper after her that was a woman needed to be a sex symbol.
Yeah, and she looked so uncomfortable doing that.
Yeah, and I remember that was, I can't remember if it was, like, a King magazine or Source, but they tried to, like, sex her up for a summer. Everyone was like, really like, oh my god, the brat, man, she fine, like, she done went and got this, that, and the other. But it was always kind of like, really, it felt to me inauthentic. Like, what, I'm gonna listen to the brat rap about fucking dudes and shit? Like, it just seemed like that's not even her,
right? That wasn't her style.
You know what I mean? Like, so when you have this influence in the industry of all these men telling you not only not to be out, but you need to be sexy and appeal to men to sell your album, or to exist in this industry, to be around me. And we've heard what, like, people like Rick Ross have said about letting rappers on this track that are women and shit like that. So there's a lack of respect for women in general, and a definitely lack of respect for your sexuality. They don't give a fuck about that. You know, to this day, I still go up for Lauryn Hill because, I mean, she had carved her own lane at that time. It was a time where you could have a Lauryn Hill and a Lil' Kim, and it didn't have to be a battle between who's the best. It was just, these are two different type of women with two different lanes, and neither one of them's talking shit about the other one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish we could have that back, and I feel like we're getting that a little bit now, where you're starting to see more and more women rappers that are in the game, and they're not making the whole point of, I'm the baddest bitch, but also, let me tell you, these other bitches ain't shit. Like, they, like, it's like, I'm the baddest bitch and you the baddest bitch. We all the baddest bitch. Let's do it. Let's put on a track together.
And I'm fine with that. And people act like there's something wrong. There can only be one. No, we all could be here.
Yeah. So, you know, that, it was always kind of fucked up, you know, but yeah, she finally, felt now that she could kind of come out, you know, and I mean, no one owes it to anyone to come out. You know, I think we know it has a positive effect on younger kids to see, like, people thriving and being LGBTQ and open and proud and out and all this stuff. It does help the younger kids, because when you're 14, 13 and you're alone and you feel like it's wrong for you to feel this way, your parents and your church and all these people make you feel wrong, and then the people you think would be your icons are 40 and they're still not living their truth, there's part of you that goes, oh, it never gets better. Like, I'm always have to live with this inside. So, you know, it's always, to me, a celebration when people come out, but no one owes it to you. You know, people still running up on Queen Latifah like she owed something to the community. That's not, mm-hmm. to me, that's not something you owe. It's just something you celebrate when people feel that weight lift and that the freedom to come out and be like, hey, this is me. So yeah, she explained a variety why the time was now right to publicly claim who she is. I've always felt like being private is the better way to go, because then you don't have to say have so many people in your business. I was fine staying quiet, but my partner is a social media mogul. That's how she became who she is. And when you get with somebody, you have to meet in the middle. So to me, the middle was just letting everybody know, hey, she's the one. Brad said that making her relationship public wasn't planned. It was a spontaneous gesture that came about she and DuPart were when they were looking at pictures. Jessica was showing me some pictures. We were going back and forth joking, I'll post it. So when she did, I was like, oh shit, I just came out after 20 something years, but it feels good to share with the world when you're happy. Brad added that she never felt pressured by her label Social Def to hide her sexuality, but she has said in the past that it wasn't cool back in the day, which to me is pressure. I was always told you want to be fuckable to men and women to sell records. You don't want anybody to discriminate, she says. It was absolutely my decision. I mean, you saw what happened to people like Ellen. Remember when she lost her TV show and all that horrible things that happened? People were totally against it. That's a great point. Because you know as black people, if they took a white woman TV show away, you know the brat wasn't sitting around like, my turn, like, oh, well, back in the closet for me. See you niggas never worry, you know. That star has since crossed over to radio and is part of the Ricky Smiley morning show in Atlanta. So she does that now. Co-host of Fox's syndicated entertainment show Dish Nation. She is also the executive producer of WE TV's reality show Growing Up Hip Hop in Atlanta. I didn't know she was doing all this. Given the change of social landscape, mm-hmm.
She
knows.
She out there like Eve, just be doing shit.
Right, being unproblematic and making money. She no longer has fear of sexual identity will threaten her career, but she did say her respect for a beloved family member also held her back from being forthcoming. My grandmother has passed away, but she was sanctified. So sanctified. I would not want anybody in the church to judge her because of what I do. You never want to hurt the people that raise you. You don't want to disappoint them. That's sad that you can't come out because of that. You know, it's definitely something we take for granted as straight people. Like, I've never been like, this is going to embarrass my grandmama when she find out. Yeah, I'm with a woman. Oh, God. Like,
I'm with a man. What is people going to think?
Yeah, so it's definitely a privilege.
Yeah, we don't get the same pressure. You know, right. People just assume, you know, he giving you that penis. You go, okay, that's the assumption.
She not going to condone it, but she loves me unconditionally. No one in my family has said anything bad or degrading. The brat received an outpouring of support from friends, family, and fans. Yeah, you know, that's the other thing too, though. These are people. Everyone we're talking about is a person, whether they're a celebrity, a rapper, whatever. So they still unworking and dealing with all this shit. And there's also I talk about this with Bossy all the time. There's a gentleness to your friends and family that it doesn't exist as much now on social media. People treat it like a foreign concept. It should always be about you, fuck everybody else. But there's a gentleness to, like, I don't want to put my grandmama on blast for y'all.
Right. That's a real feeling.
And it's complicated. And do I have every right to? Probably. You know, but then I got to deal with my mama. And I got to deal with the way she feels and the way my... You know, I got to deal with all this other stuff, the way I feel about it. So maybe I'm not in a place mentally where I feel like burn it all down, fuck everybody, I don't care. And it's just more of a sad, tragic situation, because it's an empathetic person clearly putting a lot of people before her own, like, happiness. But I'm just glad she lived long enough to make it to a point where she can just finally be like, yeah, I'm out. Mm-hmm. The rapper is very much excited about attending her first Pride event. If I can inspire someone to help somebody to deal with their issues, their sexuality, then I'm here for it. It feels like a weight has been lifted. So there you go. All right, let us move on. Let's see, this is gonna be a long episode. All right, what do I want to talk about? I don't think I want to talk about any shit with the I don't care about this shit. We'll talk about this stuff Sunday with Vernon and Glover from Corey. We'll talk about the just our friends from Living, the band in Living Color. I don't know if you guys heard of them. You know, we hang out sometimes, we talk.
They'll be on Sunday.
no big deal, but we'll probably save some of these articles for them on Sunday. Definitely want to talk to them. So you know what, why don't we do everybody's newest favorite segment? Let's invite some people to the cookout.
Let's go.
Okay, it's cookout time, y'all.
We passing out tickets.
Mm-hmm. Let's see who's up first to go to the come to the cookout. It looks like my man Bill de Blasio is coming to the cookout. Okay. Apparently 10 days of protests against police brutality and racism, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio announced that budget cuts will be coming to the New York Police Department with the goal of reinvesting the revenue back into the community. You mean hashtag defund the police? I was told Bill de Blasio was a piece of shit, unrepented, racist that's
what they said online.
Never helped nobody and made things worse for black people and empowered the police. And this announcement, de Blasio did not immediately give a figure of how much the cut will be, but the funding will shift from the NYPD budget and the youth and social services for communities of color. De Blasio is also committed to finding significant savings in the budget, which will have to be negotiated with the city council and relies on multiple variables. In addition, the city's mayor committed to moving vendor enforcement out of the NYPD. Shifting enforcement of street vending out of the NYPD's responsibility will allow officers to focus on more serious crime and will cut down on the interactions of uniformed officers, uniformed officers and New Yorkers for administrative infractions and particularly interactions with immigrants and communities of color. De Blasio will also initiate community ambassador programs within the NYPD. The ambassadors will represent the diversity of New Yorkers and work with the NYPD to act as liaisons between officers and the community they represent. The presence of community ambassadors will hopefully build trust between the police department and the community they serve. He also pledged to support the 50-A reform bill, which was introduced in Albany and is looking to take away provisions included by legislators that prevent transparency and create more accountability within the department's disciplinary system. 50-A in its current form is what keeps officer misconduct records private. Jesus.
I think that law bill passed, if I'm not mistaken, so that will actually become public.
Wow. He keeps going at this rate. Even June from Harlem's gonna have to forgive him. I don't know if he can do all this shit.
He gonna have to work hard for her forgiveness.
He do all this shit. You gonna see June up in here carrying de Blasio signs. Announced the corporation
council. She might still trip him.
Last week, de Blasio announced the corporation council Jim Johnson and DOI commissioner Margaret Garnett will be reviewing the protest as well as the NYPD's response to the protest to ensure there is accountability for both officers and protesters who may have acted inappropriately. Oh, they threw that protesters in there. You ain't slick. Anyway, since the floor is the bar, Bill de Blasio.
I'm up at Brooklyn, now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Call me
back. I guess he bringing the everything bagels.
Apparently he is.
And bring some of that pizza too. I ain't never had no New York pizza, okay?
No, not no fish in New York pizza.
I was looking forward to that, okay?
Me
come
too,
on.
And going to Chicago, get some deep dish Chicago pizza.
You ain't eating a pizza with no fork and no knife up in here, is you?
I like pizza, so I would have loved that.
We ain't got nothing but plastic cutlery up in here. So.
Red Solo cups.
Yeah, I don't know if we got what you want. Make sure you tuck in your tie. And we can't wait to meet your black family, okay?
I know, right?
I know they know how to cut a rug, okay? Aww. I want to get some hair tips from your son with the fro, okay?
Yes.
Come over by the natural hair section.
we got the braiding section over here.
Anna Wintour admits to hurtful, intolerant behavior at Vogue.
Oh, shit.
Anna Wintour, who has resigned as Vogue's editor-in-chief for 32 years, and on Thursday, she publicly acknowledged mistakes made during her career. God damn, black people is getting these people to resign. She resigned because of this? Wow.
Me and you talked about this. Right now, the streets is hot. Like, now is not the time to be fucking up. Now you wait a smooth 6 months, you might get away from shit. But right now,
damn, they really,
they're looking at everything.
This
32 years of your career, poof.
Like, they've been mad you ain't hiring no black people for all 32 of them years. But
yes, they have.
Man, this shit now, they like, I gotta go. I gotta get out of here.
I don't want them problems. They ain't gonna be protesting me.
The Vogue dame sent out a company-wide memo to address the recent events surrounding racial injustice across the country. In her emotional letter, she admitted to letting hurtful, intolerant behavior go unchecked and not doing enough to champion black staffers and designers. According to Page Six, Wintour acknowledged and showed empathy for the sadness, hurt, and anger workers were going through. She took a moment to address black members of the Vogue team specifically and conceded that the need for change was overdue.
Well, damn. And this is part of the process. I'll just say, sometimes people got to step down, like, and that's some shit that's really tough to do, because that's a long career.
I want to say this, especially to the black members of our team. I can only imagine what these days have been like, but I also know that hurt and violence and injustice we're seeing and talking about have been around for a long time. Recognizing it and doing something about it is overdue. I want to say plainly that I know Vogue has not found enough ways to elevate and give space to the black editors, writers, photographers, designers, and other creators. We have made mistakes too, publishing images or stories that have been hurtful or intolerant. I take full responsibility for those mistakes. It can't be easy to be a black employee at Vogue, and there are too few of you. I know that it is not enough to say we will do better, but we will. And please know that I value your voices and responses as we move forward. I'm listening and would like to hear your feedback and your advice if you would like to share either. The memo quickly follows Adam Rappaport, former editor-in-chief of Bon Appetit, resignation, which happened on Monday.
Bon Appetit is big. That's a huge.
Many call for Rappaport to step down after 2013 photo service of him in brown face alongside his wife.
Oh, no! They showed up and was like, Bon Appetit. They was like, we don't want that meal.
Alfred, do you have any booty sweats?
Yeah, get him chugging on some of Alpha's ass water. That'll bring him around. It's a cure-all. Man, what you coming out in movies for anyway? Do you need another revenue stream?
For your information, my revenue stream currently generates $2 million a year in charitable contributions for my community.
Hot damn.
And why am I in this movie? Maybe I just knew I had to represent. Because they had one good part in here for a black man, and they gave it to Crocodile Dundee.
Pump your brakes, kid. That man's a national treasure.
I just want to throw another shrimp on you, Bobby.
That shit ain't funny.
Hey, fellas, it's hot. We're tired. It stinks.
I'm fucking with you, Kangaroo Jeff. I'm sorry a dingo ate your baby.
You know that's the true story. Lady lost a kid. You about to cross some fucking lines.
Guys, relax.
You know what? Fuck that, man. I'm sick of this koala hugging nigga. Tell him he's...
For 400 years, that word has kept us down.
The fuck?
Took a whole lot of time just to get up that hill. Now we up in the big leagues. Getting our turn to bat. Long as we live, it's you and me, baby.
That's the theme song for the Jeffersons. You really need help.
And just because the theme song don't make it not true.
Maybe he showed up like that, and we had to forgive him.
One of my favorite roles. That's one of my favorite roles.
I mean, you said he did Bon Appetit, right? Is that a cooking magazine?
Mm-hmm, that's cooking magazine.
Y'all might be in for a treat. You know, back before the war broke out, I was a saucier in San Antonio. I bet I could call up some of them greens.
Call up some of them greens.
Noodle some crawfish out the patty, yo. Maybe some crab apples. For dessert now, yeah? Hell yeah!
That's just the best!
Oh, real tears every time. Anyway, Andre Leon Talley, a former friend of Wintour, black man, has also criticized Vogue editor-in-chief in his new memoir, The Chiffon Trenches, and accused her of ending their friendship because he became too old and too fat. He also ousted her for not thanking him for his op-ed piece for the Washington Post, which praised her September 2018 Beyonce cover, saying that it was culturally significant for the black community. Not one quick email from Anna Wintour. Tally said, editors I've worked with for decades didn't understand the immense importance of this occasion simply because they are not capable of understanding. None of my contemporaries have seen the world through black eyes. To conclude, Wintour applauded the magazine's published content over the past few days and stated that there was much more to be done. I'm proud of the content we have published on our site over these past few days, but I also know that there is much more work to do. Please don't hesitate to be in touch with me directly. I'm arranging ways we can discuss these issues together candidly, but in the meantime, welcome your thoughts and reactions. As for the future of Vogue, she assures work is being done. So, yeah, Anna Wintour resigned and apologized for all that sism. So,
once upon a time, there was a little black girl in the Brewster Projects of Detroit, Michigan. At 15, she was spotted by an Ebony Fashion Fair talent scout, and her modeling career took off.
You better work.
Come on in, Anna. Stretch yourself down the runway, okay?
We're confusing all the old people. They be like, why the lights go down? Where these colors come from?
Give us a little twirl, Anna, coming in here looking like Cruella DeVille.
Where this runway come from? Calm down, Grandma.
Okay, you go ahead and strut all the way over to the drinks.
Yes!
All right. Heel to the toe.
9-inch heels. Heel, toe. Heel, toe.
Go ahead and sashay real quick for us.
Yes, do a twirl.
Mm-hmm. Now have a seat over here and judge the rest of us, our clothing.
Yes.
Yeah, she's coming to cook out because it's the bare minimum. All right, let's see who else is coming to the cookout. Oh, man. The Navy is planning to ban all public displays.
The Navy?
The Navy. The U.S. Navy. The United States Navy is planning to ban all public displays of the Confederate flag.
Let's go.
Yep. They are working on an order to ban the display of the Confederate flag less than a week after the Marine Corps issued a directive to do so. Wow. I mean, who saw that coming? Mm-mm. Okay. I mean, I feel like
it should have already been in place, but hey.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but you know what? Whenever you come, it's time.
That's how I feel.
It's been too late for a long time, and it would have been too late tomorrow as well, so might as well do it today. So we appreciate the Navy around here, mm-hmm. Okay, for doing the right thing. Finally, welcome to the cookout.
Rihanna. Good girl going bad. Take three. Action. No clouds in my stones. Let it rain. I hide the plane in the bank. Coming down like a Dow Jones.
I mean, this is Rihanna's crew, the Navy, so I guess they'll be coming through repping our girl.
That's what I thought you were talking about at first. That's why I was like, the Navy?
No, I mean, just the U.S. Navy, not the Rihanna Navy, but I guess they're going to come in their white uniforms and sashay for us and do a little bit of the swabbing the deck. You know,
come on, Jeff Bezos got it, so all the military can show up.
Yeah, we're gonna probably have this on some of y'all boats, okay? Because we're gonna be able to afford it with Jeff Bezos' money.
Come on.
So the Navy will be at the cookout for checks notes taking down the Confederate flag in 2020. All right. Yep, that's cookout worthy now.
That is the bar is so low.
Under my umbrella,
let's see who else is getting in. Roger Goodell.
Okay. What'd he do?
He admits the NFL bungled the kneeling protest and said we were wrong.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. He said we were wrong.
And the sporting world lost its mind.
Yep.
It started ruckus.
Yeah, he finally came out and admitted. Now, a lot of people don't know how the NFL works, so they wanted him to say Kaepernick's name in it, which I'm assuming they probably can't because of the legal bindings of the deal that they signed with him. Correct. So they probably can't. The other thing they said was then hire Kaepernick, and that, no offense to my blacks, I know y'all just casually follow sports and I'm probably a little bit of a sports nerd, but that's not how any of this works. Mm-mm. So he can't personally get Kaepernick hired
because he doesn't
he
have
tried
a
that already. Right. He clearly has been trying it behind the scenes. Him and Jay-Z have incentivized teams to do it. These racist ass owners don't want to do it. Roger Goodell himself is probably not a racist in the way that you think of racism.
Right.
And you know, he's like, he personally would love to not have this on his resume. The entire thing, but his job is to carry water for the owners, and he came in on some law and punishment shit. So to me, this is him reaping the benefits of that. And so now he has to deal with the consequences of looking like the principal, right? Everyone looks at the principal and go, let him back into school. And it's like, I didn't kick him out and I can't let him back in, but you tried to make yourself look all powerful 10, 12 years ago when you got the job and was punishing people for getting DUIs and shit. Anyway, some players put out a video basically saying, we want the league to say Black Lives Matter. And it was all because of a rogue employee that basically coordinated all this shit through the players and stuff, and probably expected to be fired off of this. But then Goodell was with it because Goodell probably is with it.
Right.
but the owners are not, you know, these old rich white men are not with any of this Black Lives Matter shit. And so he gave a statement and from his basement looking like a hostage.
Mm-hmm.
We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. So yeah, I guess he's coming to the cookout.
Mm-hmm.
God, I gotta find some, mm-hmm. Some,
I guess some sports worthy music. I don't
even know if I know any, sports, songs, for the NFL anyway.
Right.
Oh, you know what? This one is kind of everybody, this is kind of everybody's, sports song. If I can find the right. Why is this not on here? Hold on a second.
Okay. go to different browser, different one. Maybe it's on the other one.
Nah. Hold on. Give me one second.
Oh, you good. Yeah, he done came a long way. Like them Slim Ass cigarettes.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where I think he got forced into having to have their back, and there was really nothing he could do about it.
Mm-mm.
You know, because the players now are exercising their power in a way that they never have before.
Yeah, the NFL, this is big.
Right.
Because they've been about that shield and nobody speak up.
Yeah, so.
And the NBA players been out here a hot minute going, fuck Donald Trump.
Right. Right.
They have, like, they be like, the fuck you gonna do? I'm gonna go play basketball tomorrow and still be rich.
Yeah, NBA players been saying something. Anyway, mm-hmm. This is the song.
We fly, no lie, you know this.
Swollen.
When we rise, outside, it's like showbiz.
You gonna come in and run the 40-yard dash with us? You gonna be all-time quarterback? Come on over here, Raj.
We're gonna have them big blowouts with the hole in the middle. They're gonna be throwing the ball. He gonna supply all the football shit.
Right. Come on in.
Be like, okay, we thank you for being here. Sign up here for the flag football team, the tackle football. We got 5 and under over there. The teenagers over here.
Bring Tom Brady with you.
Yes.
And all the Gatorade. You know you bring all the Gatorade, yes, okay?
The field goal. You wanna do the field goal kicker? You over there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. All right, let's see who else is coming in. We'll do one more. White cops and civilians wash black protesters' faith leaders' feet and ask for forgiveness.
Oh, we just talked about the story.
We did this one already?
I thought we did.
Okay, yeah. You know what? We did do this one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a weird one. But you know what? I don't understand that's some religious shit, so I'll let the Christians fight about that. Like, what? Like, I listen to Tiwa Queen and Jay, and they both seem to hate it, so, you know, I'm assuming there's a lot of black people that did not fuck with that. So I don't know if it worked the way they thought it would work, but the blacks were, it seemed like a lot of the blacks were not feeling
okay,
it.
Okay, we were sending that. We need another nominee all to come right in.
Panthers, our home team, our favorite NFL team, the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. Panthers in relationship with CPI security after CEO's George Floyd protest remarks. Do we do this one?
Yeah, we talked about it, but I don't think we invited him to the cookout. I remember talking about that story.
The Carolina Panthers ended their relationship with CPI security on Saturday evening. The announcement comes after release of an email containing what the leader of local community group called racist comments. The Panthers issued a statement stating, last Saturday, we said we are committed to doing our part, and we mean it. CPI has been a long-term partner.
We mean it.
And listen, you guys don't live here, but CPI and the Panthers hand in hand.
Yes, the CP, they got like a dog, and CPI security like a dog house or something where they do like the pre-games for like the AM station over here.
So I don't know, I don't remember if they do that, but I know Luke Keachley was a CPI person. They do all these commercials in local.
I forgot they do. They do tons of them commercials.
It's a big fucking deal. If you watch a Panthers game, these commercials come on like every other commercial break.
Yes, they do.
So CPI security got to be giving them all the money.
Yeah, not only they did it, the Hornets followed behind them.
Well, the way to.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. And the Hornets did it too, y'all. So the Hornets.
I ruined the punchline.
It's okay. Anyway, I guess.
I was like, everybody went along.
We can just skip to the song.
This is David Nevermind. And today's controversy is coming from yet another member, or should I say members, of the hip hop community. D.D. Pablo, a new artist signed under Jive, has teamed up with Timberland out of PA in a quest to redeem the title.
Come on in here, David Tepper and Michael Jordan. Okay, Michael's already coming to the cookout. Okay, he been about this life.
What?
But yes. David Tepper, come on through, player.
Waving like a helicopter.
North Carolina. One for you, this one for who? Us.
North Carolina.
Come on and raise up.
Take your shirt off.
Turn it around, yo. Waving like a helicopter. Yeah, man, might go to a game now. Shout out to the Panthers,
and that's big time because you don't like outside.
Mm-hmm. They did that.
Yeah,
quick too. Like I'm saying, dude said that shit on like Saturday night, and Saturday a little bit later at the night, the Panthers had put out a statement, and I woke up the next morning and the Hornets had put out a statement.
And y'all know what? I'm not trying to find it. Y'all, this is like probably millions of dollars that they instantly lost. Mm-hmm. Because both of these, like, they literally did both of the arenas, you know, they probably did a bunch of other, you know, shit, and for them to end that, I know other people's probably rubbing their hand, doing the with the Birdman hand rub, going, come on, all we want some of that money over here.
Mm-hmm. All right, I saw I said that would be the last one.
Oh, we got another one.
No, I thought I said that would be the last one, so I'll just leave it at that one. All right, let's get into you know what, nah, fuck that, let's do one more. We do one more, y'all.
Okay.
After speaking out about George Floyd's death, Property brother Jonathan Scott gives to 4 nonprofits.
Come on, Property Brothers. That's one of my favorite shows.
Mm-hmm.
Them identical brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He
come on through, Property Brothers.
They did it. What can you say? He's committing to use his platform, his voice, for affecting lasting change. I'm committed to listening. I'm committed to learning. I should use my voice, my platform, my vote to affect lasting change. This is not an overnight fix, but I believe good shall prevail, and we all are responsible to speak up about the injustices around us. Silence solves nothing. Man, this is why Biden gonna win, y'all. I'm telling y'all, it's not gonna be us. These whites, they are acting different.
Come on, throw whites.
If we can just keep them
till November,
till acting this way till November, and they'll wake up and be like, wow, Biden won, because they weren't saying shit in 2016, not a fucking thing. Trump was racist as shit in 2016, man. They wasn't talking, I'm gonna use my voice, I'm gonna donate to Black Lives Matter. They didn't give a fuck. Niggas was dying in the streets. Anyway, it's not about that. That's holding old things against them. We not doing that here. Mm-hmm. We here to be inviting people into the cookout. That's what's important. And I almost forgot, okay? Mm-hmm. But we back, okay? So yeah, I guess we gotta invite him into the cookout. He'll be building some shelters, okay?
Come, come on. Y'all go over there and check him out.
I knew you was a property brother, but I didn't know you was down with the property brothers, okay? We appreciate you over there, pimp.
And we know some of y'all been looking for some homes.
Okay, come over here and help us build this cookout shelter. Okay, we want an indoor pool and an outdoor pool. Yeah. Shout out to Ray J. Okay, we appreciate you, bro. Can we get some air conditioning up in here?
All right, it's hot.
All right.
We need an indoor pool and an outdoor pool.
We got an indoor basketball court and an outdoor basketball court fucking with Jonathan over here.
Come on.
Coming on in here, hooking up the nonprofits and helping us get the vote out, okay?
Right.
Can you build us a little booth for registration for voting? Okay, we're going to need that.
Oh, yeah. You know, in case they can.
We appreciate you, Jonathan, okay?
Yeah, somebody said, oh, I need an open concept. I want them walls.
You know, they say you like a house with good bones. Well, do you like a big bone woman, because I have several aunts here, Jonathan.
Yes, they okay. Mean in the kitchen.
Okay. Do you like red bones? I want to do you know that. Do you like neck bones? Okay, because we got all kinds of bones up in the cookout.
Yes, I know you like them greens, but do you like them collard greens?
Okay, we trying to get the hookup, all right? Oh, man. Appreciate you, Jonathan.
Appreciate you.
Snuck on in the cookout. Ain't that some shit? All right, let's get to wrapping this up. What should we wrap it up with? I guess we could do Guess the Race. Let's do Guess the Race. Let's do Guess the Race. Let me get my Guess the Race music out.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is racist. All right, let's get to guess number one. A woman is facing a possible jail sentence after lashing out at her ex-boyfriend when she tried to rekindle their relationship.
Bullshit.
Decca Ahmed, 41, turned up at the home of Sylvester Rulis, 28. She's 41, he's 28. Okay. During the lockdown on April 15th, and she messaged him saying, surprise, I'm downstairs and I've got a bottle of wine. However, when he poured it into tumblers rather than wine glasses, she flew into a rage and threw it at him.
What is a tumbler?
A tumbler is like a liquor, like what you drink brown liquor in, like a small glass. Like it doesn't have a stem like a wine glass. She threw it. He dodged out the way and smashed into a cabinet. Ahmed then slapped him around the face 10 times and hit his roommate Ravis Melders with a belt before they were able to bundle her out of the house.
What the roommate got to do with it?
Probably trying to save somebody's life. That was when she dropped her knickers and defecated on the doorstep of his home in South Kensington.
Not the knickers. This is not from the United States.
No. The couple had been in a relationship since 2018, but as a result of the previous trouble, Mr. Rulis was banned from seeing Ahmed. He appeared in court via video link as he is currently in custody on various charges, including stealing the doorbell from Ahmed's home. Ahmed said that was on the day she attacked.
She took the ring off the door.
I guess so. This is weird though, because he's the one in jail.
Oh, he's in jail. How is he in jail?
She hit him, but he's in jail according to this. He appeared in court. He is currently in custody on various charges, including stealing the doorbell from a man's home. A man said that on the day she attacked him with the tumbler, she was at his house to retrieve the doorbell and that he had invited her in for wine. However, District Judge Alex Jacobs at Westminster Court rejected her version of events and convicted her of criminal damage and 2 counts of assault by beating. So why the hell did he ever go to jail? I don't understand. For stealing the doorbell?
Possibly
some other unrelated shit. Anyway, the defendant became upset by the complainant drinking wine from a water glass rather than a wine glass. Her previous convictions make it apparent that when she is in drink, she resorts to violence, including using glasses and throwing them towards the complainant. Mr. Rulis says she was drinking too much, and when she drinks too much, she is very aggressive and angry over little things. She texted me saying, surprise, I'm downstairs, I got a bottle of wine. She had 6 or 7 glasses of whiskey, and I had 2 or 3. She slapped me 8 to 10 times in the face. She said, I can do anything anytime because I'm the woman, and there won't be any bruises on your face. She wanted to have physical contact again. My flatmate gets home. She doesn't like my flatmate, so I asked her nicely to go to my bedroom and talk for a little while with her. Then I went back to talk with my flatmate. Let me tell you something. This 41-year-old woman must be putting that thing on this dude.
Yeah, because nobody gonna.
She should have never got in the house.
Right.
He was in there like, well, maybe we could talk in the bedroom. She must have been putting it this out.
Okay, you downstairs now. What?
Right. Well, my roommate's here. I mean, we can move to something more private. She was aggressive, rude, disrespectful. I went back to the bedroom. I realized she was using my phone. I saw Facebook was open to Instagram, and she added nasty text to my Facebook, which I deleted straight away. She got super aggressive and started fighting my flatmate, trying to kick him, and then I realized this is out of control. Oh, then? And we had to call the police. Somehow, he managed for her to be outside the door when she started being really loud outside the door. Afterwards, she was outside banging the door. Suddenly it was silence. He was standing inside looking at what was going on outside. He said she was urinating and shitting outside my main front door. I saw from the third floor window that she was slapping him with a belt. She was trying to take his bicycle out and he was trying to take it indoors. 6 police officers arrived and tried to pin her down. She would be sentenced in Crown Court at a later date. Guess the race of what was her first name? Decca Ahmed.
Decca Ahmed. Indian?
All right, let's check the chat room. Blaming her actions on Meghan Markle. Boo Boo Brown Black, a Middle Eastern Karen, wanted to speak to his manager about these tumblers white. She wanted Bollywood. He gave her the hood Indian. She is Middle Eastern Black. Block Lois Matter. I think it's Block Lois Matter. I don't think it's they said it to you. Middle Eastern, white passing Asian, Southeastern Asian. MILFs trying to chase youngins, Middle Eastern Pakistani, brown-ish, says Barger. Well, the correct answer is, Karen, what'd you say, Indian?
Yeah,
or something
like India in that
area. Well, you got it wrong, she's black.
Oh, with that name?
And some of you got it right. I know a black when I see one, and that's a black, okay?
Yeah, she just happened to have a name, just like a kind of like an Indian Middle Eastern name.
And it don't crack. That's 41 right there looking you in the face.
She's beautiful.
Okay?
She's crazy, but beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, sometimes you gotta let somebody shit on your steps, okay? Who knows other shit she was into? Woman kicked pregnant woman in the stomach because unborn child was a demon baby.
What?
I know, Karen. If I had a dime, you know, we've all been there before.
Demons told me to do it. Who told you to do it? The demons.
A Litchfield Park woman is facing charges after allegedly kicking a pregnant woman in the stomach, telling her that her unborn child was a demon baby. Police say Diamond Martinez also punched the pregnant woman's 12-year-old sister in the face. Jesus.
Ooh, Ooh, everybody was getting them hands and feet, apparently.
This is like how Future reacts when you tell him that you're pregnant with his baby.
Oh no.
It happened early Sunday morning during okay, even Future's not that bad. I take it back. I'm sorry. He just threatens to kill you. Early Sunday morning near a downtown Phoenix hotel. According to the public court documents, the arresting officer, Martinez, 27, standing over and holding the victim by her hair. Police said the victim told them Martinez got in the pregnant woman's face and pushed her. The 12-year-old then stepped in front of her older sister and told Martinez to stop and that her sister was pregnant, and that's when Martinez allegedly punched the girl. The probable cause for arrest statement says Martinez grabbed the other woman by the hair and scratched at her face. The two then went to the ground, and during that, Diamond kicked the victim in the stomach. The victim told police she is 7 months pregnant. Oh my God. Police took Martinez into custody without further incident, but she told them that she did not understand her Miranda rights when they read them to her. She also refused to give a legally required DNA sample. Of course. While court documents indicate Martinez might be mentally disturbed, her mental health history is not known. It's also not clear if Martinez and the victim are acquainted or what happened before Martinez confronted the victims. Judge set a secured appearance bond of $3,500. She is facing two felony charges of aggravated assault. Karen, guess the race of, what's her first name? Diamond Martinez.
Black.
All right.
Martinez?
Mm-hmm, that's what I said.
Latinx.
Okay, so you're not black. All right, check the chat room. Rosemary, baby daddy, new girlfriend, Latinx. She probably got a knife to stab people. Latina washes feet white, passing Latinx her. She lights those candles from the bodega. Players Club black. What in the Rosemary baby going on? Latina. Forgive me, Father, I'm about to whip this bitch ass. Black, Latina, Diamond, no silk, black. The correct answer is, and Karen, you said Latinx.
Mm-hmm.
You got it wrong. She's black.
Name, Latinx.
And I'm gonna put a picture on screen, but I think I have to reload, y'all. The option to share my screen is no longer on my screen. I'm gonna have to refresh. Give me 1 second, everyone.
Okay, you do that.
All right, I'll be right back.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully it loads everything. Let me pause this. All right, so I don't know if I played the applause. So some people did say black. Did you even look at the screen to see? She looked black to me. What you think?
Mm-hmm.
All right, just checking.
I thought it was coming at my back.
It's okay. So yeah, let's go to the bonus round, guys. Karen's clearly out of it. All right, she don't care no more. She's 0-2.
I know, I'm terrible.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right, double the points, double the race, and a bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 0-2.
I'm doing terrible today, y'all.
Can she get at least one, guys? Let's see in the bonus round.
I mean, I get this, at least I'll be back to zero.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully. A Florida woman has been arrested for hamburger battery as state begins returning to normal. I've heard of ham burglars, but never ham batterers. Okay. I bet she won't get hired at McDonald's. Let's see.
No.
Even in the country rolled by mayhem and disease, Floridians still find the time to assault someone with a hamburger. According to police, Tanya Cordero, 47, was arrested Monday evening following a confrontation with a boyfriend in Largo Mobile home owned by the man's mother.
Oh.
Cordero and the 39-year-old victim have 4 children in common, according to arrest affidavit, though a grandmother has full custody of the couple's offspring. Oh, that's never good.
Mm-mm.
You got 4 kids in common, but the grandmama running everything. Mm-mm. That's not a good history.
Mm-mm.
The confrontation between Cordero and her boyfriend was reportedly touched off when Cordero, seen at Wright, became upset when the man closed a window in her room. So investigators allege Cordero smashed a hamburger in his face.
Mm.
When questioned by police, Cordero denied doing so, but her boyfriend still had hamburger in his ear upon arrival.
Duh! Where's the beef in my ear?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully it wasn't a Burger King burger. Yeah. Cordero cops added made it
it didn't have been flame broiled.
Cordero made a comment that she hoped he choked on the burger. Charged with domestic battery, a misdemeanor, Cordero was later released from the county jail on her own recognizance. A judge has ordered her to have no contact with the victim. Cordero's rap sheet includes conviction of theft, narcotics possession, providing a false name to police. In January, she was convicted of battering her boyfriend during the October 2019 argument about one of their children's Halloween costume. She served 3 months in jail on that conviction. Jesus. Okay, why are y'all together at this point? Because...
Right.
I mean, good grief, Halloween costume, closing the window, like, beating somebody's ass can't be the answer to everything. Anyway, guess the race.
What was her name again?
Tanya Cordero.
I'm gonna go with white.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room. Meth head white. False name to police white. Them whites. Not a lot of guesses. Bigger. Burger batterer black. I'm going 0-3, I guess. Florida white. She's mad because he didn't crush up her bath salts right. White. Nobody in that house got McDonald's money black. White. Dominican. Oh, Florida white and white. Put her in the paddy wagon white. The correct answer is, and I will accept Latinx and Dominican. I will count, but everybody else got it wrong. And one person got it right, so golf clap.
Okay, I don't see the picture yet.
It's doing that thing where I can't show you guys my screen. Give me one second. Matter of fact, this time I'll just copy and paste the link into the chat. You guys can click on it if you want to.
Okay.
But it won't let me show y'all my screen without refreshing, and I didn't want to have to refresh on y'all again, you know, so just leave it there. All right, let's go to Sword Ratchetness and then we'll get out of here.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went with Dominican, but you know, she could be some level of black.
She did that.
Yeah,
her face looks like I do it again,
right? Like, you gonna get this motherfucking, you gonna get a double bun, double burger next time. Like, 20,
you gonna get it my way, not your way,
right? Let's see. Three attack with bamboo and a sword over argument over wearing a mask.
Oh shit.
Three persons, including two brothers, were attacked in Chamber using bamboo, sword, and chopper after they stopped a man for not wearing a mask while using a public toilet.
So the sword was made out of bamboo?
No. Bamboo, comma, sword, and...
Oh, so we're using bamboo and a sword.
Mm-hmm.
But goddamn.
According to Tilak Nagar Police Station, Kirtan Singh Surendra Singh Rana, 34, his brother Inder Singh, 33, and their friend Masood Shaikh, 22, were near the public toilet in Nagawadi at PL Lokhand Road when they indulged in an argument with one Salim Sadiq, 38. He sounded like he'll cut a nigga.
Come on.
Kirtan Singh's father runs the public toilet. They ask, you run the toilet? Okay.
Yeah.
Asked Sadiq to wear a mask before using the toilet, which led to an argument between them. Later in the night, so it's not just America. Later in the night, around 8:15 p.m., Sadiq and three of his accomplices attacked Kirtan Singh, Inder Singh, and Masood with a bamboo stick, while Inder Singh was attacked on the head and back using a sword and a chopper.
Yeah, because I wondered, was it like a, how was it like a public toilet where they dig holes in the ground, or was it a public toilet where it was separate, you know, because it varies.
Well, why don't you go over there and see Karen, because I don't have to answer these questions. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, I don't know.
Please
either.
Don't go Justin on me over here. Okay. I don't know either.
But we stand in line for the toilet.
It's a public toilet.
Runs it.
Apparently somebody runs it. This is all the information I have in this loosely translated article. I don't have any details. I'm sorry. The police have arrested Sadiq under Indian Penal Code, Section 307, attempt to murder, and 324 voluntary cause and hurt by dangerous weapons or means, among others. They are looking for the three other suspects.
Hope you catch them.
It's not just America that don't want to wear the mask,
apparently.
All right, y'all, that's it for today's episode. Thank y'all for listening. You can find us on the blackouttips.com. Oh, the premium page works again. I had to take it down for a bit because I couldn't get the shit to work, but I figured it out. So if you want to sign up, I mean, you can still just go to the blackouttips.com/register and become a premium listener. You can also go to the blackouttips.com/premium and become a premium listener as well. So
yes, and thank you for all those that are becoming premium.
Yeah, we see y'all out there. People are still coming, becoming premium in this time, in these times.
Yes, in these times,
these uncertain times where black people have just called them these times. All the times is uncertain.
Yes, they are.
But yeah, you can check us out there. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and you know, until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.